much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Here's something that will give most of the people in this room a headache when they hear it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
This is Tranquility Base. The Eagle has landed. Jesus H. Christ. Houston. We're on the f***ing moon. Over.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy that. We cannot believe you are on the f***ing moon. Repeat. Cannot f***ing believe it. Over. You're cleared to hook up lunar equipment conveyor to walk, f***ing walk on the moon. Over. Holy living. Are you f***ing believing this? Over. We read you. Over. I absolutely am standing on the surface of f***ing moon. I'm talking to you from the surface of the f***ing moon. Jesus H. Christ in a chicken basket.
And now.
Holy shit, Tranquility. Holy mother of
f***. Our feature presentation.
And that's the way it was.
Yep. Well, it must be the date, the anniversary of being
40 years. 40 years today. Yeah.
I think people were much more well-spoken back then. I really think if it happened today, that is exactly what would be said.
That's what should be said, by the way.
It's genuine.
You're on the moon, yeah. For God's sake. You don't need to downplay it.
I have a feeling, and I'm not joking about this, that let's say we had not been to the moon, although Joe Rogan says we still have been to the moon, but let's say it had never happened, okay?
Okay.
And then they finally made it. Like today was the actual day that they're going to the moon for the first time. Do you have any doubt that the moonwalk would be sponsored? Do you have any doubt?
Oh, no, not at all.
First words out of the astronaut's mouth would be, this step onto the moon brought to you by Visa. I mean, totally different world we live in, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or one of those herbs that are supposed to make guys perform better. That's what it would be.
Exactly.
A litter module.
Powered by Levitra.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, 40 years today, and I'm a little bit space crazy, as you guys know, and there were a lot of terrific moon specials on over the weekend, and even more today. None of them on the networks or anything; it's all cable stuff.
Really,
taking care of it, but yeah, which surprises me.
Yes,
something like this.
Because you'd think they'd put it right on the network where everyone could watch.
I would think an anniversary like this, they would do an hour long special on CBS or something tonight, but they're not. So
yeah,
anyway,
it was, 40 years ago.
Yeah, but still. Still amazing. I mean, some argue it's the most significant accomplishment in human history is the fact that they figured out a way to do that.
Right.
With the resources they had available. I mean, that holds up, Kevin. That's not something you can go, yeah, it was cool at the time, but it's no longer cool. It would still be tough to go to the moon.
Yes. But I'm saying the interest in it is not you might be overestimating the interest in it because it's the 40th anniversary. It's just as interesting yesterday or tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many people are going, today is the day.
But I mean, but that's true of all anniversaries. I mean, you pick a day because it has some significance. I mean, that's true of everything. 25 years since, 10 years since. I mean, that's just how they do it. We measure time like that.
Right. But what I'm suggesting is maybe the people who put TV shows on networks have a little better grasp of the excitement level of it than perhaps you do.
Well, that's true. You don't want to miss a Big Brother episode for something like this, for a look back at an accomplishment like this.
To put it in today's terms, I was watching some documentary about the moon landing, and I was thinking about how everybody, especially my generation, is obsessed with like extreme games, with the X Games coming up. All these guys, Travis Pastrana doing the double backflips on a motorcycle, and these guys doing the ultimate vert ramp on skateboards and things. Flying to the moon's the ultimate, right? They win. No matter what Travis Pastrana can do, the biggest stunt, the biggest balls ever are the guys who got in a shuttle and flew out into space and got out on the moon, right? Like, there's never...
Sure.
But if they could go there and do a double backflip...
Oh, they could do 10 backflips without gravity.
I know, but they didn't.
My
if
point
they
being
would
is,
now, that'd be cool.
How many X Games before they start flying to the moon? How many X Games before Travis
Before that's...
Red Bull builds Travis Pastrana a big shuttle, and he just flies to the moon.
Before we get to your telephone calls, 1-800-520-1067. It's always exciting on a Monday because we debut a new prize every week, so you don't know how awesome or how crappy it might be before you call, but you dial that toll-free number, get on the air, and you get a prize. just real quick, because Buzz Aldrin was the second man on the moon, and he's my personal hero, as you know. He's the guy who, in his mid-70s, was confronted by a young punk who insisted that he was a liar and a fraud and that man had never been to the moon. And if you've never heard the tape of Buzz decking the guy.
You're a coward and a liar and a thief.
Just decked him.
Hit him in the head, yeah.
Nice.
Just
knocked him to the ground. And I still think that is that's a move right there when you're 78 or whatever it was and you deck a guy like that.
He could have gone one of two ways. He could have hit him in the face like he did, or he could have just started talking to him, in which case the man would have taken his own life.
You kind of
same result either way. That's what I'm saying.
What's a guy got to do to impress you? Come on.
1-800-520-1067 for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
Now, here's a movie I think we're all looking forward to. It's an advanced screening of Funny People, starring Adam Sandler and Seth Rogen. I've never actually looked forward to an Adam Sandler movie before, but this is the Judd Apatow one that's kind of serious.
Looks
great.
It's good.
And it looks fantastic. Anyway, it's an advanced screening for you on July the 30th. You get a chance to see it, and you do that by giving us a call at 1-800-520-1067 and getting on the air for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew.
All right, let's start with Marcus. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, how's it going?
What to do?
Well, yesterday I was on my way home from church, and I had my 3-year-old in the car with me, and I suddenly got the fear.
Oh!
The fear!
The fear!
That's not good.
No, it isn't. Especially when you have a 3-year-old telling you, well, Daddy, you should have gone before we left.
Yep, well,
that's an important lesson.
He's right. So what do you do? Were you on the freeway? Were you on surface streets?
No. We were on side streets hitting every red light.
Yeah.
Oh, so did you make it home, or did you have to pull over, or what?
No, I made it home, but just barely.
Yeah, you didn't have the fear then. I don't think. I think the fear respects not your time.
The fear.
The fear.
It's not interested in letting you get home.
For folks who haven't heard about the fear, it's when you got to go and you got to go now. And we all know that what you're supposed to do in the event. I don't know where you were, Marcus, but the proper procedure is to drive to Psycho Mike's parents' house in Pasadena and go on the front lawn. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do when you get the fear.
See, that's a good example. Is went on the front lawn because couldn't make it inside.
Right. No
that,
time.
That is that's some urgency there. I mean, that is really exceptional urgency.
I'll keep that in mind next time.
All right. So you were fear light. I don't know if there is such a thing.
Diet fear.
Diet fear.
Yeah.
It wasn't the real fear. So maybe you should just you should count your blessings.
Yeah. Do that.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for the call. By the way, Mike, I think it'd be a good idea to have some laminated cards printed up that people can keep in their glove compartment in the event that they get the fear, so they know how to get to your parents' house.
The fear.
But do you have to go to Mike's parents' house? I mean, what if you're nowhere in the area?
That's unfortunate for you. It just makes it even worse to get the fear, I guess. But clearly, I mean, that's the gold standard on how to handle the fear.
That was our favorite thing, was that Psycho Mike was trying desperately to get home, got home, jumped out of his car, and was 15 feet from a bathroom. That's when you know the desperation kicks in, and the front lawn is what happened.
There was no possibility I could get keys out, get him in the front door, open the door. No way. It was then.
You're talking about 15 seconds.
I
seriously.
Know. That's the thing about the fear. You don't feel it coming on, and the time is now. Once it happens, it's on.
The fear.
The fear.
All right, let's go to Ed. Hey, Ed.
Hey, guys, what'd it do?
What'd it do?
Hey, guys, did you know, well, just to add to that conspiracy theory about the moon landing, NASA actually taped over the original moon landing.
NASA taped over the moon landing?
Yes, sir. So they don't have any original tapes from the actual moon landing.
Well, let me clarify that. I mean, obviously they have some tapes, the stuff that was broadcast, but here's what happened is they had these awesome cameras that they put on the moon that were really good quality, but they lost a lot of that quality when they had to convert it for the television broadcast back home. So what we saw was kind of muddy and blurry and grainy, out of focus, right? Well, they had those original tapes. They had hours and hours and hours of stuff on the moon, and they brought it back and they put it in a warehouse, and then eventually when they started needing more tapes for satellites, they were looking for tape and they taped over it all. So they had all this high-quality footage of men on the moon that no longer exists because they needed to use the tape again.
Wow.
It's kind of like you have a videotape of your wedding, and you know, want to tape Falcon Crest one night, so it's gone. I mean, that's essentially Falcon what happened. Crest.
Did you just make a Falcon Crest reference?
I did, yes.
You think you could update that just a bit?
Well, but, you know, today you don't tape over videotape.
Yes, yeah. So I was saying
going it's... back. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going back to when videotape was popular. That's why I chose that.
But that's what a schmo at home does, not
right.
NASA.
That's not NASA. That's you being
shocking.
An a-hole. It's not NASA.
I guess they had limited tape, and they had 24 hours of satellite data that they needed to start taping, so they just went into the warehouse and started pulling them off the shelf, and they lost all of that. I mean... tons and tons and tons of hours of high quality footage that no one's ever seen.
You know why?
Raced over.
Didn't happen. They weren't on the moon.
Well, there that's is that. Why. That's a good point. I watched two of those moon landing conspiracy shows yesterday, by the way. Two on different networks.
Do you get all angry?
How dare
they suggest we didn't land on the moon?
I know, because everything that they used to suggest that it didn't happen, that it was a hoax, has been refuted very well. I mean, all they have to do is choose to believe it, and they won't. Even though they say, oh, but the flag waved, and then they say, well, here's why it looked like it waved. And they just go, well, yeah, but still. I mean, that's basically right. Their argument is, we refuse to believe it no matter how many facts you throw at us.
Right, but that's why I'm asking, why would you watch
that? Why do you watch them?
Because I just think it's hilarious. I think it's hilarious to see these people who are all living in trailer parks, you know, sitting out in front with their 11 cats talking about how man can't go to the moon. That's just funny, that's all.
Yeah.
I love those people.
It's Joe Rogan.
I know.
For the record.
All right. Otherwise, a very, very bright man.
I can't figure that hard right he took.
Exactly. My father-in-law did not believe that man landed on the moon, no kidding, until about 2 years ago.
And what changed his mind?
2 years ago?
I took him to see that documentary, In the Shadow of the Moon. We went to see it in the theater together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they had tons and tons and tons of footage shot from inside the space capsule on the way to and from the moon.
They can't fake that?
He thought there was that's what, for whatever reason, when he saw all the details and all the scientists involved and talking about how hard it was and what they had to overcome to make it happen, he finally believed it. So I was very pleased with that.
All right.
That's
our moon chunk for today. And we can put that behind us.
Okay.
Let's talk about the Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
Texting disasters on today's Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know if you've seen the video of the girl on YouTube who's texting and falls in a manhole.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's really great. And that's not code.
Nope.
Actually happened. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the program today, talking about the celebrities and their weekend and whatnot.
Okay.
We have a documentary filmmaker named Paul Saltzman, who did a documentary named Prom Night in Mississippi. And this is a black prom and a white prom.
Yeah.
And you go to the proper one.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Odd,
in this
right?
day and age.
What happens to couples who have one person in each school, by the way? What do they do? Are they allowed to go to the other's prom?
I don't know.
I don't think it goes well if they do.
Yeah, I'm thinking not.
Yeah.
I'm thinking you gotta go to the one you belong to.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. It's hard to believe this is still happening, but we'll talk to Paul today on the show. We have a fresh batch of Internet Roundup, which we think you'll like.
Excellent.
We have some more animal stories. The animals are going crazy and taking over the world. And we got the Wheel of Animal Voices coming up.
Okay.
And we're going to talk to the latest guy to hit big. Become a huge movie star.
Really?
Dave, the King of Mexico.
He got a break. He finally got his big showbiz break.
He's leaving.
Is this it? This is the last we'll see of Dave?
And when he says this is it.
Well, his IMDb has been a little thin since his appearance on Dawson's Creek. I've been waiting for some new Dave on my TV.
So we're going to talk to him about his trip to New York. I guess he's leaving, or someplace on the East Coast. He's leaving today, and he's going to be in Step Up 3D.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you can't deny those dancing skills. Yeah.
He's a lead dancer. So
can't make that movie without Dave.
So that's going to be great as well. And K-Rock's Road Trip USA stop number 2. We'll tell you about that this morning as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Ralph Garman joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show first thing Monday morning to find out what's going on in the world of showbiz. Hey, Ralph, how was your weekend, dude?
It was spectacular.
Yeah? Hot enough for you?
just hot enough?
I guess. Not hot enough for you? Would have preferred more heat?
Just fine. Fine heat what levels.
What did you do to your eye? You get in a fight over the weekend?
I'll tell you off the air what happened to my eye. I can't say another year.
Okay. Oh.
It's a fascinating story, but too bad for the listeners. I can't tell.
All right. Holy
really? No.
It's a great story.
Ralph's got does it involve your wife?
Does not. She's she's out of town, so she's police are not looking at her.
Really?
As a suspect. Yeah.
All right.
Let's talk about movies, shall we? As we do every Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 biggest grossing movies in these United States. And I'll tell you, those muggles sure like to go see the
Dumbledore.
Dumbledore and other of the Chamber of Wizards.
That was a good movie.
Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Since its debut, just it made about $80 million over the weekend. Just
wow.
The weekend. But since its debut on Wednesday, it made about $160 million domestically.
60?
Yeah.
Wow.
$160 million in its five-day opening.
Unbelievable.
Add that to the $237 million it's made overseas. It's made approximately $400 million since its premiere on Wednesday.
Wow.
Making it the biggest movie opening ever.
Mm. Wow.
Worldwide, in five days, $400 million.
That is unbelievable.
Pretty strong.
Yeah.
Ice Age, Dawn of the Dinosaurs came in at number two with $17.7 million. Apparently, everybody who went to the movies this weekend went to see Harry Potter. Transformers was number three, then Bruno and The Hangover. The Proposal, Public Enemies, Up, My Sister's Keeper, I Love You, Beth Cooper, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Married this weekend was Fred Durst.
What? Yes!
Who took to his Twitter account to share the good news with all of his fan this weekend. Fred Durst tied the knot Friday in Las Vegas. He was there for the much-anticipated Limp Bizkit reunion
sure.
show.
What?
And Fred married his new bride, Esther, in a small ceremony and showed his followers on Twitter a picture of the newlyweds toasting with mojitos. Not much is known about the new Mrs. Durst, other than she is apparently deaf. And appalling taste in men.
Hopefully blind, too, by the way. I've seen Fred lately.
Misha Barton's recent meltdown. Apparently, according to one friend who tells People magazine, it was her drug and alcohol use just getting out of control.
Ah.
I'm sure my friends don't talk about me like that
right? yeah.
to people. She doesn't know when to say when, says another friend. And has been dealing with a lot of personal issues, says yet another friend. She was put under a 5150, in case you missed this story, which is a 72-hour involuntary psychiatric hold. As allowed by the state of California. That happened last Wednesday. Some reporters are reporting she's still in the hospital, so we'll have to wait and see. Not a surprise, her new TV series on the CW, The Beautiful Life, has postponed production until July the 31st. I guess they hope she'll be out by then. However, the producers say it has nothing to do with Misha Barton being
really?
In the hospital. The sets just aren't ready.
Oh,
really? Really, CW?
So lame.
Really?
You got to build the sets, Ralph. You can't do TV without sets.
Yeah. Well, The Beautiful Life, I think it is about a space station, so I can see why they need a... Oh, no. It takes place in, like, an office building. Could shoot it here.
Yeah.
No, she's fine. It's the... sets that need some help. Speaking of Harry Potter, Emma Watson in the news.
Yeah.
She, of course, plays Heine on that, in that
I think it's Heine.
Or Hermione.
I think it's Hermione.
She says she can't wait to go off the rails and go crazy like every other Hollywood starlet. But at 19 years old, she's just working too damn hard right now to do it. She says, look for her meltdown in about a decade.
All right.
She says, by then she'll have time to go crazy and overindulge and go nuts. So
someone's going to be very lucky to meet her in 10 years because right now she's worth something like $300 million.
Yeah.
And then she'll be crazy in 10 years.
Lauren Conrad apparently has no tolerance for her former Hills co-stars Heidi Montag and Spencer Pratt. Us Weekly says that Lauren is dissing them in this month's Harper Bazaar magazine.
Well, that's where disses happen.
Oh, that's where the biggest feuds in Hollywood crack. That Harper's Bazaar. See that or the Saturday Evening Post, I think.
Harper's Bazaar.
Yeah. She did an interview with them. It's like a chick's fashion magazine.
Yeah, it's been around for 150 years, that magazine.
So what'd right. she say?
There's your magazine update.
Yeah.
She says that the difference between Spencer and Heidi and herself are that she does not seek fame and call the tabloids to let them know what she's doing every second.
Ooh. Oh, man. It's
no,
on.
You can't say things like that out loud, man, without getting a cap busted in your ass.
If she doesn't seek fame, why did she go on the Hills?
For the art.
And just write a book about a girl that's just like her.
Yeah, L.A. Candy, her new book, which is top 10 bestseller right now.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Paula Abdul's ready to walk off the set of American Idol.
Oh, please, yes.
Apparently, are you kidding? That's the only thing. I don't watch the show, but that's the only thing that I think I would enjoy is the craziness.
She and Simon are the only two reality, are the only reasons I would watch that show. They're really the entertaining parts of that show.
I'm super bored with Paula, though.
Well, you may get your wish, because apparently she and producers cannot come to an agreement regarding her new deal for going back next season. See, right now, Paula is only making $2.5 million a year from Idol.
Wow.
Seacrest just got a new deal for $15 million per year for Idol. And she wants a significant bump, not to mention what Simon gets.
I can see how she would, you know.
I could too. I mean, although it's ridiculous to get $2.5 million a year, first of all, for what she does on that show, which is go, you are the walk of sunshine and the lightness of all the music that pours out of your ears, soak it in. She gets $2.5 million for saying that.
The reason that you're shaking up this whole competition is that you dare to dance in the path of greatness.
True. My my grandpa danced in the path of greatness once.
Is that right?
Yeah, greatness came down the track, hit him, killed him.
Wow. That's sad.
But at least he dared.
Stay off the path, people. That's what I say. So, looks like she may not come back. Which, you know, looks like they've had that already in place. They've got the horse face there. They're ready to take over the middle seat. So they may have been prepping this move for some time now because Paul is crazy.
I was a little bit confused by the timing of this announcement, Ralph, because I thought they've already been doing the American Idol auditions in Denver and Miami and other cities already. Don't the judges show up for those and see some of those people that come out?
I always thought so.
Maybe they have preliminaries or something like that.
I don't know. Hmm. Not sure of the inner workings of American Idol. Today's celebrity birthdays.
What will that show do without her?
What will it do? It will be fine. Yeah. Carlos Santana.
Hey, hey, hey.
He is 62 years old today. Chris Cornell of Audioslave and Soundgarden celebrates his 45th birthday. Pearl Jam's guitarist Stone Gossard celebrates his 43rd birthday today. Josh Holloway, Sawyer from Lost, is 40. Simon Rex turns 35 years old today. Gisele Bündchen.
Oh!
Celebrates her 29th birthday. And speaking of American Idol, Elliot Yameen, the guy who could eat a corn cob through a picket fence, if you ever saw his teeth when he was back on the show. He was effed up when it came to the teeth. But they're all fixed now, and he's 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, let's get the wheel out. Wheel of Animal Voices.
No.
Yeah, it's right here on the schedule.
I know it's right here.
Wheel of Animal Voices.
We have way too many animal stories to figure out how to deal with them properly.
Yeah. Now you deal with them.
Put them on the wheel.
Do none of them.
Put them on the wheel.
No.
You have been doing for 20 years, you've been talking to animals, and I think we get it. I think we all get it.
We have questions.
No,
though.
You don't.
On each and every story.
But you don't get any answers. So stop asking those questions is what we're saying.
So on the wheel is chimps that are pimps.
I'm still dying for it to land on that. I really want to know how that works.
We have the parking lot stone squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
That is a brazen little fella, that dude.
He's awesome. I see him almost every day.
He's fearless.
Yeah?
He is fearless.
We have the Russian dog girl. We have the suicidal New York City turtles.
Right.
We have the zombie fire ants.
Ah, still got the ants.
We have the attacking Komodo dragon.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
The gay German penguins.
Mm-hmm.
The Argentinian mega colony ants. The drunk German badger. So all of those are on the wheel.
Why don't you just combine all your horrible ideas and call a foreign country and ask them about these animals? That way you could just,
great idea.
Just hit it all, two birds with one stone.
I wouldn't mind calling Argentina and asking about the ants, I'll tell you that.
Right. If it's a story where it makes sense, if it's the drunk German badger, then we can call them and find out what's going on. But since we don't have time for all of those stories, got to spin the wheel and see which story we're going to do.
And you will be calling this animal and talking to them with your questions.
That's correct,
Ralph.
That's
the premise.
That's what we do.
Because we have questions about the story,
which I just want to make sure I have it clear.
Only the animal can answer.
I see.
It's the parking lot stone squirrel.
Oh!
I'll be right back. All right.
Where are you going, Ralph? Don't you want to hear this? Hey, Ralph, where are you going?
Oh, he left.
I know that squirrel. That squirrel.
That squirrel really is a bold...
It's right in front of the path when you walk out the front door. Does not move.
And I'm not sure
just sitting, eating.
I'm not sure if it's because people here drop weed But it does seem stoned at all hours of the day.
A little glazed over, yeah.
It has the munchies. But it is weird because, let's face it, squirrels don't generally hang out close to people. I mean, when people come, they scatter. I mean, that's just what they do, right?
Right.
This squirrel is basically defying you to walk past them on the sidewalk.
Yeah, it'll stand there and not move and just look at you like, yeah, and? It's got the attitude of a cat, which
absolutely.
Is not normal for a squirrel. So we thought we would try and line up an expert. Never mind. We're going to talk to the squirrel in the parking lot. Hello, parking lot stone squirrel.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well.
Awesome.
How's it going for you?
Cool. Are you the guys in the building?
Yes. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Now, what do we call you? Are you Stony? Are you Rocky? What's your name?
My name's Rocky, man.
Rocky, okay.
Rocky, okay.
Rocky, the parking lot. Squirrel.
Squirrel, right. So we're the guys that walked past you about 45 minutes ago coming into work.
You guys are big.
Yeah.
I'm not.
That doesn't seem to scare you at all, though. You just look
Why
at us.
Why should I be scared, man? You guys are like... Hey, buddy, and then you drop your weed, and I scurry over and pick it up.
That's
it's
what I thought.
All good.
Now
we're all sharing with each other, and I think that's what matters.
Are you sharing back with us then?
I am.
Oh, all right.
Sometimes I will go into your cars when you leave the windows open, and I will poop in there.
Wow.
Giving you a little something back, that man.
That is very nice.
A little something for you. You drop the blue Hawaiian, and I drop the pooper.
Now, do you get weed from everybody that works here, or is there one person that gives it to you regularly?
Oh, it's not just weed, man.
It's not just weed.
No, one time Omar was in the parking lot and dropped this little bindle or something.
Right.
I was up for a year.
Oh, that sounds like Omar.
That's a long time to be up.
I could not sleep for one solar year, man.
Yeah.
That's how long it takes for the Earth to get around the sun.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So Rocky.
Dude!
What?
Somebody was on the moon.
Right.
No, I just heard it.
No, it's the 40th anniversary.
Dudes are on the moon.
It happened 40 years ago.
Old dudes are on the moon.
Yes.
No, they're home now. It was a long time ago they went up
well,
there.
Well, yeah, it must take a long time to get back from the moon.
Rocky, we see you eating all the time. Like, every time we see you, you're munching out.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, man.
So your question is, what's up?
I'm hungry, man.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when, like, that chick who does all the promotion events for you guys.
Yes.
When she drops something in the parking lot and I go... And I eat it.
Yeah.
I'm still hungry.
Yeah, that is a surprise.
I'm even more hungry than I was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if one of you guys could drop some, like, Little Debbie's or something next time, or if you could drop, dude, you know those pretzels with the peanut butter inside?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Drop those.
You like those?
Yeah, or combos. Remember combos with a pretzel with a cheese inside?
Oh, yeah.
Just any pretzel with something inside it, I guess, is what I'm shooting for.
All right.
That'd be awesome.
We'll put something inside a pretzel.
Yeah.
And drop it.
That's dirty or something. I don't get it, but I feel your vibe, man.
Rocky. It's the Road Trip USA stop number 2, which is no doubt in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Honolulu?
I was just thinking it's an odd road trip, considering you can't get there by road.
True.
But that's what we're doing, so we're going to give you a chance to win those coming up.
You might not have thought that through.
It's K-Rock at 621.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, they are slowly rebuilding the website. We have had some real problems with the site over the last few weeks or so, but it's coming back. Kevin, you'd be happy to know I tried to post a new blog on my page over the weekend. The internet refused me.
Yes.
I was not allowed.
Yes, the program finally worked.
You've been trying to figure out a way to make it impossible for me to post for years.
Just
and it's finally
blog.
Happened.
Anywhere you go, it should tell you it's not available.
But we do have a section on the site that is very popular, and why not? It's called Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
are just firing guns like it's nothing here. That's how we roll. There are four new videos up. One is Jack Bauer's 24 Kills. And they put Rammstein, I don't know how you say the band, music underneath it, and then they just edit him shooting people together.
Yeah, how many deaths has Jack Bauer caused on 24 in the 7 seasons so far?
200 million.
Are they all there?
I'm not sure if it's all of the seasons or what, but it's enough. I mean,
yeah, I think that was the goal, was to find every televised killing that Jack has done in 7 seasons so far and edit it together in one song. It's actually pretty impressive.
It is the best. It's really cool. And I'm sure you've seen this by now, but we did put the Michael Jackson's Hair Catches on Fire thing up. I'm sure you've seen it on TV because they've been playing it ad nauseum, and they bring in experts like there's anything to say about it. It was how many years ago? 20?
25.
Yeah. 25 years ago. But it is one of those things that you go, I can't believe I'm watching this, and this really makes me feel terrible, and when can I start it again?
I watched it the first time I had the option, and really haven't had much desire to see it again. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, it is.
It's painful.
Because it's not, I got to look really closely because, you know, you're not going to really be able to see anything. It looks like bad special effects as flames engulfing his whole head.
Yeah, you can't miss it.
No.
And for folks who don't know, his hair caught fire while making a Pepsi commercial in 1984. Just another reason, by the way, that Pepsi is Satan's pee. And they say that was the beginning of his addiction to painkillers, which kind of led him to so many other problems and eventually made perhaps even his death because he was in so much pain as a result of that. And I still don't understand how he didn't stop dancing faster when it looks like his entire scalp is engulfed in flames. How is that not a heads up, you know, pull the act?
It looks to me like he didn't realize it yet, just because there's so many things going on, and he knew there were pyro, and he knew all
that.
But
wouldn't you feel that?
You would think.
Yeah.
You would think.
It's a lot of fire. I mean, this is not just a spark on his head. I mean, it looks like he's wearing a crown of fire.
It is. It's 5 people's worth of fire on one person's head. So I'm sure you've seen it, but if you haven't yet, you can go to the Internet Roundup. I don't know if you've seen the Quentin Rampage Jackson interview. He's an MMA fighter, for those of you that don't know. It is awesome. That's the one that you'll watch repeatedly and go, I can't believe that I'm watching this, because this female reporter starts asking him questions and he kind of grabs her and starts kind of dry humping her.
That's exactly what he does.
But the length of time that he continues is just really bizarre. I mean, it's just, you watch it and you go, okay, stop that.
Well, and she doesn't really react.
She doesn't react, and she asks another question, and he continues doing it.
She's very professional.
Well, I have an idea for a romantic comedy starring you and me.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's about a wrestler who falls in love with a ring girl. What do you think? You in?
Yeah.
All right, so at that point, it starts.
Sounds good to me.
Am I in?
You're in. Let's do it right now. Cut.
Still doing it. Still doing it.
Okay, there's only one more. Now, if you could get into the octagon with any celebrity.
Still doing it, by the way. He's still doing it.
Who would it be?
Lucy Liu.
Lucy Liu. All right, there we have it.
Still doing it.
All right, well, that's all we have with Rampage Jackson for the day.
Still doing it.
Thank you, Rampage.
You're welcome.
It is shocking. You just keep looking at it going, he's going to stop any second, but he doesn't.
And why doesn't she stop him?
Well, I think she was the one that started kind of flirting, romantic comedy, me and
she
you,
likes
blah, blah, blah.
It.
Yeah. I don't know. It's awesome. Just, I mean, you don't see that very often, but you always see it come to a conclusion, and it just keeps going and going and going.
Mike, you need to take the microphone out and try some interviews on the street and see if you can get away with that.
I think I might end up in jail.
No, you have to be Rampage to get away with that kind of stuff. We have a mashup video on there of Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit and Rick Astley. Now, here's what's cool, is not only did they do the mashup, which is difficult enough, they mashed the videos together as well.
Yes, and you're watching the video, and it starts the way you remember it starting, with the kids in the gym and Nirvana playing away, and then Rick Astley comes in and starts singing. And the whole thing is synced up as if Rick is in the video with Nirvana. It's crazy good. And about a year too late to be an effective Rick role.
Sure.
I don't know why the guy took so long to finally make this, but it is pretty remarkable and pretty well done. You got to check it out.
And then there's the story of the girl that's texting and falls in a manhole.
Oh.
And that's not code.
She was walking along Victory Boulevard, about to read a text message on her girlfriend's cell phone, when the sidewalk suddenly wasn't there.
Like, there was no warning of a big open hole.
A big open manhole.
Oh.
Alexa tumbled 6 feet underground and landed in 4 inches of raw sewage.
Yes.
In a word, Alexa's mother says it was horrible.
From your sink to your toilet, it's down in there. And she was smelly.
Yep.
She didn't break a leg
or
anything?
I don't think so. I don't think
that's
she was injured.
Unbelievable.
That's another one of those things where you watch and go, that might be the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Oh,
I love that reporter, by the way.
Yeah, that reporter's
all of a sudden,
the
sidewalk wasn't there.
He's the worst reporter
ever. In the manhole.
KevinAB.com, KRock.com. Internet Roundup is where to find those links.
King of Mexico has just joined us.
Did somebody order Mexican?
What? Before we talk about your latest acting experience, Kevin, do you know what Dave and Yasmin did in bed this weekend? Did you hear about this?
No. I'm not aware of the details of that.
Yasmin tweeted Dave to turn off the TV because she was trying to sleep. They're in bed together, and she picks up her phone and tweets him, "Hey, ESPN is keeping me up. Turn it off."
That's funny. Not exactly what she tweeted, but
that's funny.
It
is very close to exactly what she tweeted.
Yeah. I didn't know anything about that. So
she was right next to you.
Yeah.
That's why. And I know some people have said that maybe we're starting to rely too much on technology, and it's taking us away from the human touch and interaction with other people. But is this the ultimate when they're literally lying in bed together and she tweets them rather than push them?
But guess what happened?
What?
ESPN went right off.
And so it worked.
Yeah.
That's basically what you're saying.
Oh, yep.
All right. I picture them laying in bed. You're in bed with Miss Double December, by the way, and you're looking at your phone tweeting. That's what Dave does with his time.
Well, oh, you know he does that. You know he texts 24/7. I mean, that's his deal.
For sure.
Now, Dave, you're going to be in a movie, and this is this might be my favorite thing that's coming along in a long time.
Not just any movie, dude. Step Up 3D. What's up?
Step Up 3D.
Dave is officially the oldest fan of the Step Up movie franchise. He's there's very, very few people out of their teens who are into the Step Up franchise, but Dave loves these movies. He's been crazy for these movies, and now, as Step Up fan number one, they've offered him an opportunity to be in the next one.
That's right.
So we've had Step Up, and then we had Step Up 2.
Step Up to the Streets.
Step Up to the Streets, right.
Yeah.
That was the recent one. And then when does this one come? You're going to New York today to film?
I'm flying out to New York today to film my, scene.
Wow. What's your scene? What are you doing?
You know, probably just busting some moves and tearing up the streets.
I certainly hope so, because if you don't, if you're
setting the streets aflame with my feet.
If you're a boring waiter or you walk by in the background or something, I'm going to be really angry.
No way, dude. I'm tearing it up.
Honestly.
Dave, I forgive me for having not seen the first two, but is there a continuing through line with the plot? Do the same characters come back and we're supposed to be following their adventures or what?
Sort of. In the first one, it was Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan, yeah. And Channing Tatum's character comes back in the second one and helps out a friend who lived on the block.
Right.
And on this one, one of the characters in the dance crew from Step Up 2 is going to New York to become a freshman at NYU, and you know he has his own
crew. And he needs his own crew, and you're part of it.
Battle it up.
Are you part of
it? Streets. I hope so. You know, I don't know quite yet what I'm doing, but I know I'll be ripping and shredding.
I don't care what they tell you you're doing. You are dancing.
I am dancing.
Okay.
I'm not flying all the way to New York, dude, just to stand around and, like you said, be a waiter.
All right.
I'm dancing. You know, I feel bad because I might even have to make them reshoot the movie. Because when they see me move, they're going to want me as a star.
That's true. They're going to go, hey, that guy that we had that's the star of the movie, let's kick him out. This guy, this King of Mexico is the next big thing.
Yeah.
Here's the information producer Alex just handed me. Step Up 3D is from Walt Disney. It's coming out in the summer of 2010. And apparently in this one, a tight-knit group of street dancers, including Luke and Natalie, team up with NYU freshman Moose and find themselves pitted against the world's best breakdancers in a high-stakes showdown that will change their lives forever.
Yes, it will.
Yeah. So you could be on Moose's crew if you play your cards right.
Moose, you could be
one.
Moose.
Yeah, Moose was the one in Step Up 2.
Oh, he was? Okay.
He was a lovable, dorky dancer.
So Moose isn't available for you to play.
No. Moose is taken.
Right. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And I don't want to pass judgment, but you're clearly not going to be an NYU student, right? You're going to be the local.
No, I'm going to be the hood.
The local
dude.
Towny breakdancer.
Yeah, I'm going to be the streets. Yeah, I'm representing hot. The streets, yo.
That's awesome.
Dave, how much dancing have you done or could you do for this movie?
I don't know, dude. Whatever they need, whatever they ask of me, you know?
No, but I'm saying they might not ask for dancing from
no,
you.
No, they're getting it. They're getting it, dude.
Whatever they
like
ask.
Like I said, I'm not going to New York just to stand around. Okay, I'm dancing.
So whatever they say to you, you add dancing to it.
Yep.
If it's dancing, then you dance some more. If it's not dancing, then you dance.
Hey, you're the receptionist. Ring, ring, ring. What's up? Boom.
Right,
busting
right.
Some moves, dude. Popping, locking. Hello. You know.
It's so Hotel. Weird that they fly an actor out and haven't even told him what his role is yet. It was just, we'll figure out a way to work you into the movie, it sounds like.
That just because they want me to freestyle, you know. They don't want me knowing any moves or anything. Nothing's going to be choreographed. Because
if
you're busting some freestyles,
right, because if you plan stuff ahead of time, it can look stale.
Yeah,
and,
it can look staged. They don't want that, dude.
Right.
They want it to be real.
He's like Brando late in his career. They don't even want to put restrictions on. They're just like, just be in my movie.
Just
you
go.
Can do whatever you
just
want.
Go.
Yeah.
Just be there and, let it roll.
Yep.
Oh, that's gonna be so great.
They get a whole day of me just dancing, and they'll put it in where it fits in.
Now, is it possible that you're going to be a DJ? I've heard this.
That might be
that's
the
one
case
of the roles.
Yeah,
okay,
that might be one of the roles.
If you're the DJ at a club, you're definitely dancing.
Oh,
I mean, old school robot, everything.
Everything.
Okay.
Right. I'm busting it. Like I said, Kevin, I'm bringing it, man. Everything
wait.
I've learned from the past, man. Everything I learned on the streets,
right.
I'm bringing it.
And by everything you learned from the streets, you mean everything that you've seen in these movies before?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you dance?
I think so.
I think so.
There's, you know,
that's
there's
the
been times,
it.
You
so
know,
no.
Back in the day when I've been challenged on the dance floor and I had to cut the rug and rip it apart, you know.
I don't know that cut the rug is used anymore, just for the record.
It really hasn't been popular since the 20s.
But, you know, up in the streets, people bump into me. And
sure.
Instead of fighting, dude, we just dance.
You
man.
Dance all
the
time.
We just dance.
I know.
We'll battle it out, you
but,
know.
Well, it could be for all the marbles sometimes, and you don't know, you know, that morning when you wake up that you're going to be having a dance off.
That's right. You never know when you're going to need the dance.
this is really very much like Ralph being asked to be in a Pacino movie. I mean, this would be so near the top of the list of films that Dave would be in if he had his pick. I mean, think about it. Step Up to him is
sure.
is the Godfather to you, Kevin. I mean,
sure.
this is the big deal for him.
Yeah, Ralph has Pacino. I have John M. Chu. Man, he makes some awesome YouTube, you know, videos with the dancing, and it's awesome.
He directed the last Step Up movie too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Step Up to the Streets.
Step Up. Yes.
Now it's New York streets, and Dave, the King of Mexico, is going
to
be there.
Yeah.
Well, my only regret is we have to wait till next summer to see it, but that's going to be fun, Dave. I hope you'll be checking in with us from New York this week.
I hope so.
Are you bringing your flip camera?
I'll take my recorder.
Okay.
Yeah.
And can you get some clips of you with maybe some of the cast members throwing down?
I'll try to do my best. Whatever I could do, whatever they let me, then I'll do it.
No. Whatever they let me. They don't put restrictions on you, man. You're a free spirit.
Word.
But we don't want Dave to get thrown off for piracy. I mean, you got to be careful on a movie set, man.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, aside from the movie, he needs to get some of the actors and actresses and throw down. I mean, I want
to
see.
Maybe I'll take them out to the streets, you know, the real streets, and then we'll battle and I'll bring that for you guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to be fantastic. They made the right call. Step Up 3D, starring Dave, the King of Mexico. That was a bad choice.
My name is John.
Hey!
Nope.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 6:52.
Coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show, brand new Pearl Jam. It is called The Fixer. We world premiered it for you at 6 o'clock. We'll play it for you again at 7 o'clock.
Here comes The Fixer.
From their forthcoming album called Backspacer, new Pearl Jam in minutes. Plus, the latest celebrity feud involves musicians. Trent Reznor versus Gene Simmons of Kiss. We'll find out what that's all about on the way. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Every Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. And no surprise, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince came in at number one this weekend. Just this weekend, it made $80 million. Since its opening on Wednesday, it made $160 million domestically. You combine that with the overseas numbers, which are $237 million. That adds up to just a hair under $400 million in 5 days.
Ka, and might I add, ching!
Wow.
That's good, right?
That's great.
Yeah. She better start writing some more books. You know what I'm saying?
She's done.
Kevin, you've seen all the Harry Potter movies. How does this one rate?
I thought it was better than average.
I thought it was ringing endorsement. Better than average.
Well,
easy.
Really
calm down, Kevin.
No, I don't
mean... You may be a little biased with your over-the-top enthusiasm.
I don't mean better than average, like average movies. These movies are all really pretty good.
And this is better than the average Harry Potter, is what I meant.
Ah.
So, in the category of good movies, I thought I enjoyed this more than most.
Okay.
Some of them were less. Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It was good. That's what he's trying to say.
Thank you.
I want a good movie.
Dawn of the Dinosaurs, the Ice Age sequel, came in at number 2. Transformers Revenge of the Fallen was 3rd. Bruno and the Hangover filled out the top 5. Then The Proposal, Public Enemies, Up, My Sister's Keeper, and I Love You, Beth Cooper, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Futurama. You guys Futurama fans?
No.
Not
really. Watch the Not Futurama?
Really. Not really.
It was the second series brought to us by Matt Groening and Company, who gave us The Simpsons, of course. It does have a pretty solid fan base, however, enough so that Comedy Central has negotiated with 20th Century Television to start producing brand new episodes of Futurama to air on the Comedy Central channel as of 2010. Here's the thing, though. They went to get the original cast back together from the Fox series, and the studio refused to pony up the money to get those actors.
Okay.
Katie Sagal from Married with Children was one of the actors on there. Billy West, who was a super talented comedian, a voiceover artist, and impressionist, also was one of the cast members. But they will not pay for those actors, so they are replacing the entire cast.
Okay.
Wow. So if you do excellent impressions of any of the characters from Futurama, you may want to get yourself an agent, because they're looking for brand new actors to take over those roles. So apparently there will be a Futurama panel at this year's Comic-Con coming up this weekend in San Diego. And Matt Groening and David X. Cohen, who are the producers, will be talking about this topic. So Futurama fans, I want to give you a heads up. You may not be hearing some of your favorite characters.
Do you have any of those in your stable of voices?
I don't know the show that well.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't know if I can do those voices or not.
Remember a few years ago when there was talk that the Simpsons voices may not come back, and they put out kind of put out the quiet word that they could be looking for new Simpsons voices?
Yeah. I auditioned.
Yeah, you do the best Homer I've ever heard.
Oh, you're very kind. Actually, Dan still is the man.
Well, I mean, excepting the original, obviously. Yeah.
But yeah, I auditioned for a couple of those voices, and there was some interest, and then they settled with those guys and brought them all back.
Bastards.
I missed by that much. You guys know who Erin Andrews is? She is
a
sideline reporter for ESPN.
Yeah, she's
is one of my favorites.
She's hot.
She is
hot.
Way hot. Yeah. And with that in mind, I thank the person who shot her naked in her hotel room with a video camera through a peephole.
What?
I don't know if you've seen...
Giggity, giggity.
You've seen the video on the internet.
I have not.
But it had been going around now for about a week. That's when I first saw it. Someone sent it to me because they know I'm a big Erin Andrews fan. They said, look how hot she is, naked, walking around on the phone in her hotel room. And I said, this is one of those bogus, trumped-up videos where they say, ooh, Erin Andrews sex tape, you know, pay $19.95 and get the whole download. And I said, this is someone who looks like her, but this is bogus. Turns out, not bogus. ESPN has confirmed that their sideline reporter, Erin Andrews, was the victim of an invasion of privacy when someone shot her with a video camera through a peephole in her hotel room.
How do you do that? Where's the peephole?
I don't know.
I don't understand this either, because the peepholes on the door that all hotel rooms have are one way.
It's not a door peephole. This is a peephole drilled in a wall or someplace with a tiny little pinhole camera that was used.
Yeah,
man. Her lawyer has put forth the following statement.
Oh, don't get involved, lawyers.
It's too late. Anyone who publishes the material, circulates it, as well as the videographer, they're all being brought with criminal and civil charges. So if you want to find this video, you may want to search quickly before it's pulled off every possible site, because they are pretty steamed about this, and you may not see it soon. But,
Mega upload.
What?
Rapid share.
While alone in the privacy of her hotel room, Erin Andrews was surreptitiously videotaped without her knowledge or consent. She was the victim of a crime and is taking action to protect yourself and help ensure that others are not similarly violated in the future.
We as well are outraged,
says her lawyer,
and will not stand for it.
Erin was also in the news recently. She was, I think it was the All-Star game. or another baseball game, perhaps, where she caught a fly ball to the face.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Hit her right in the chops.
Oh, that was the same reporter? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, she had a ball right on her chin, apparently. Where it hit. I'm telling you, that's where she got hit. I'm not even making a joke. That's she got hit in the chin
right.
with a ball.
With a baseball.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
So, Aaron's had a rough week, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. George Clooney is particularly distraught over the death of Walter Cronkite. You know, he is sort of a news junkie, George Clooney.
Does he?
Loves, especially the old school television journalists. Well, he did that movie, Good Night and Good Luck, about Edward
right.
R. Murrow.
Right. His father was a newsman.
And his dad, Bill Clooney. Steve Clooney.
Nick, I think, isn't it?
Nick Clooney was a longtime television journalist. And George Clooney said this weekend regarding the death of legendary newsman Walter Cronkite, "I hate the world without Walter Cronkite."
Wow.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
Well, they were very close friends, too. I mean, Walter would come to Italy and stay at George's house for a week and stuff like that. I mean, they were legitimate buds.
Yeah, they were. Brokeback journalists.
Yep.
That's what I used to call them. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we?
I didn't know he was still alive.
George Clooney?
George Clooney?
No.
Oh.
The old dude.
Walter Cronkite?
Yeah.
He's not alive anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. Gisele Bündchen? Sieg Heil! Sieg Heil, Gisele Bündchen! She's 29 years old today. Elliot Yamin from American Idol turns 31. Josh Holloway. Nope. Josh Holloway. Who plays Sawyer on Lost. Bean's favorite character on that show, by the way. Yeah. He's 40 years old today. Speaking of Pearl Jam, I heard you guys playing that new Pearl Jam earlier. That Fixer?
Yep. Got to play it again next.
The Fixer, you can play it next?
Yep.
Right next. After this, you're going to play it.
Correct.
When I'm done talking, you'll hear Pearl Jam.
It'll be the next song you hear.
All right. Speaking of which, guitarist Stone Gossard of Pearl Jam is 43 years old today. Chris Cornell of Audioslave and Soundgarden is 45. Drummer Paul Cook of the Sex Pistols celebrates his 53rd birthday. Did you ever think any of the Sex Pistols would live to be 53?
No.
Yeah. And Carlos Santana, considered probably one of the greatest guitarists in the rock pop era,
sure.
As Casey Kasem used to say. He is 62 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's talk about Trent Reznor. He's been doing some interviews about how he wants to get off the road. He's mm-hmm. been very vocal about the fact that the only way to make money these days is to just get out there and just tour.
Right.
He's also been a little bit cranky lately, by the way.
Lately?
Especially in the last few months, it seems like he almost hates being on the road. He hates his fans. He hates his Twitter account. He seems like he needs a baba and a baggie is what Trent needs about now.
He has said that touring has invaded every other aspect of his life. That's the problem. It's just too all-consuming. He can't do anything else. He can't work on any other projects. It's too much.
Well, then don't decide. I mean, doesn't he make the schedule? He decides how much of a tour he's going to do. Don't go out and do 2 years at a time.
Yeah, it does seem like he has his whole life toured for long amounts of time mm-hmm. and then right. turned on it. And not toured for a long amount of time.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems to be his M.O. But he was talking to the Philippines Daily Inquirer.
Certainly a reputable newspaper.
Who are famous for their in-depth rock star interviews.
And he was talking about touring and how... Here's the quote. "I'd never want to be Gene Simmons, an old man who puts on makeup to entertain kids, like a clown going to work."
Dude.
"In my paranoia, I fear that if I don't stop this, it could become that."
Ooh, well, so, no one wants that.
We thought we would check in with Gene just to find out how that's working out. Hey, Gene.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Gene Simmons is always good. And Bean, how are you?
Well, I'm fine, Gene, but I'm just curious.
More importantly, Lisa.
Hi, Gene.
My dear, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
All right.
Gene, you've been a successful rock star for how long now? Since the early 70s, KISS has been together and performing, right?
A little over 35 years I've been in the limelight, yes.
So when you see in your mind a relative newcomer like Trent Reznor kind of ragging on you guys, how does it make you feel?
It doesn't bother Gene Simmons that much.
what does Gene Simmons think about it then?
As successful as KISS and a businessman as successful as I am, obviously you're going to have people who are jealous and they're going to make these comments in the press and do what they can to try to bring you down, to drag you down. It's just nothing new for Gene Simmons. Many years ago, when Eric Clapton was first getting started, he had many terrible things to say about me. Early Eric Clapton, the Cream era, Eric Clapton.
Sure.
Speaking of Cream,
Wow. Really?
That's nice. Facial, organic facial cream for you.
Oh, geez.
Gene,
you know, I'm good. Thank you. I'm
Courtney
good.
Love used to have terrible things to say about me.
Yeah.
In the early 90s, right when she was starting Hole.
Uh-huh.
Lisa May.
No.
Gene, I think Trent was just suggesting that he doesn't want to be the guy putting on makeup.
Yeah.
Well, you know, to each their own. You know, Eddie Vedder once had some very scathing comments about me in Rolling Stone's interview around 1992. I believe you're playing the new Pearl Jam today.
We are, yes.
Yes,
the fixer.
Lisa May, speaking of Pearl Jam, I've got a pearl necklace right here. I'm looking at it.
Oh, wow. For God's sake, Gene, can you focus?
And to your clavicle area.
Is the only reason you come on our show to hit on Lisa, or what's the deal here?
Before Gavin Rossdale met Gwen Stefani, he had terrible things to say about me.
Yeah, what band was he with, Gene?
He was with Bush.
Come on, Gene. Stop
you guys, it.
Terrible.
You guys, all right, I'm sorry. Look, the reason I called, you guys and I, we're friends. I don't want to sit here and make perverse jokes all day long.
Really?
I know Bean is a huge baseball fan, Kevin.
I
listen to the show.
Baseball,
but
not.
You have to appreciate what Albert Pujols is doing right now. I mean, just unbelievable.
He's player in baseball.
Might be watching the best baseball player ever right now, Albert Pujols. Lisa May, speaking of Pujols.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
All right.
I'm just saying.
You're the worst.
All right.
Really?
Yeah. We got to run, but thanks.
Yeah.
You know, Trey Anastasio from Fish once had a problem with me.
No kin.
You're not one of those morons who thinks soccer is football.
Big soccer game over the weekend. The return of David Beckham, who, Kevin, I know you were a fan of, and you were a fan of his club, the Galaxy, as well.
Yep.
They had a friendly against AC Milan, the team that Beckham has been with for the last 5 months or so, and apparently it was quite a spirited crowd out there watching the game.
Well, here's the thing. There's the crowd, and then there's the L.A. Riot Squad section.
Yes.
The Riot Squad are basically made up of hooligans. They're the loudest and the most obnoxious fans there. Most of the time, that turns out good for the team because they're making so much noise.
Right, but, and they're pro-home team, so they would be for the Galaxy. Except yesterday, I guess they were of two minds because they root for the Galaxy, but they're not so pleased with David Beckham.
Well, Beckham was playing at AC Milan in Italy, and he made a mention that he wanted to stay there. So the management of the Galaxy said, okay, you can stay there through at the end of their season, but then come back after that. Well, he came back. It was his first home game last night.
Before we find out more about what happened yesterday, let me put this in. Let me ask you, Kevin, since you're also a huge Lakers fan, when Kobe made his offseason remarks about how he didn't want to come back to the Lakers, what was the reaction from fans when the first game rolled around and he was, in fact, still with the Lakers?
I don't remember
Were there people who were calling him a traitor or saying, you don't want to be here, we don't want you here?
No,
or how did it work?
It didn't seem like that, but that was so far removed from the season. He made those comments in the early part of the summer.
Well, there were a lot of people who were angry at him.
Yeah.
But a lot of people. I wasn't
But it didn't turn out at that game like it did for Beckham yesterday.
And, right. And by the way, you can't compare the two because what Kobe has done for the Lakers is not at all similar to what Beckham has done for the Galaxy, you know, as far as on the field.
Yeah, well, that's true. They haven't exactly been winning since Beckham has joined the team.
Although they're doing well now, you know, and he's joining. But we have a hooligan on the line. Scott is his name. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
This is Hooligan Scott.
This is Hooligan Scott. He apparently is in the LA Riot Squad section. There were a bunch of people holding signs, Go Home Fraud number 23, Here Before, Here After, Despite 23.
Wow.
It seems like there's a little anger over the whole Beckham thing.
Yeah, there's a little bit of anger going on. And first of all, we aren't really hooligans. We're more drinkers with a soccer problem, I think.
Okay. All right, good.
For sure. But, the Kobe thing's such a great comparison. I think if he had just hadn't done anything, because at the end people were cheering for him. I mean, if he took his lumps and, you know, we knew we were pissed at him, it would have been fine. But instead he jumped into the crowd and came after somebody at halftime.
Okay.
The thing is he got combative. He made the major mistake of acknowledging you guys, right?
Exactly. I mean, he came over at halftime, started pointing at one of the guys in the front row, saying some not-so-nice things at him. And admittedly, people were booing and saying things at him.
They were at the beginning of the game, there was a lot of boos. When he touched it, it was noticeably loud.
It might have been a little loud.
Yeah, it was.
So you have to expect that, right?
But I imagine he expected that.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Here's a professional player who's played around the world, and we finally rattled his brain. I mean, you think about everything that he's through in his career, and yet gets mad and comes after us. Kind of proud of it.
Yeah, that's weird, because once you're at his level and you've played for Milan, you've played for Manchester United, for God's sakes, what can a section of the Galaxy fans in L.A. really do to upset him? You'd think that he would not even notice something like that at this point, but you really got under his skin.
I know, and the real tragedy here is we totally support the team. The team's doing amazing.
They're playing their minds.
Yeah, I know. They're playing out of their minds. And, you know, here comes Beckham to screw everything up again.
All right, but let me ask you two questions. One, he said in an interview after the game that he tried to shake the hand of one of you guys and that you would have none of it.
That was his version
of what happened.
If you shake somebody's hand with your finger up in the air in one direction. And second of all, have you ever seen a player walk over to somebody that's booing him and ask him to walk onto the field and shake his hand? That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So that's his spin, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's all PR.
But I was watching it on TV, and you didn't see what happened.
Yeah.
So you know you had to have been there to see, I guess, what he did to the fans or what the fans did to him. But I got to be honest. I mean, you guys were a-holes. I mean, a certain amount.
Well, you know, first of all, I will say that you know what some of what we wanted to do never happened. And a lot of the signs, nothing was really, you know, obscene or rude. And in the end, you know, it comes down to, right, we made our displeasure known for one game, which was a friendly. It didn't count for the season.
Right.
And next week, when the league play starts up again, everybody's going to be supporting the team, including him. And it could have been all water under the bridge.
But he, you're saying
he made it worse.
Yeah. Now, yeah. Let me ask you this question. Didn't he play a direct role in both goals? Didn't he have a great game?
He had a decent game, in my opinion. I think that, you know, and when he had an assist on a corner kick for the second goal, he turned around and gave our whole section the big shh with the two-finger sign.
Right.
But, you know, so he had a decent game, and no one's denying that he's a great player and he can help the team. I mean, we can all admit to that, but the bottom line is he doesn't want to be here. He doesn't want to, you know, play for the team. He doesn't have the heart that the rest of the team has, and we just wanted to let him know he needs to step up his game if he's going to be a part of this team and really want to be here.
That sounds reasonable to me, by the way.
Yeah.
It sounds like if message is received, then that's nothing but good news for Beckham and for the Galaxy.
Exactly. I mean, you know, the past two games he's played amazing because, you know, Landon Donovan called him out in that Grant Wall book. Because,
right.
You know, we're asking him to step up and prove to us that he wants to be here. And if he's doing it, great. And, you know, things could have been great come next week, but I'm sure they will be, too. I think it's going to just be, you know.
It'll die down.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, it was certainly an interesting thing to watch because for the first half of the game, it looked like he didn't want to possess the ball for any more than one touch because the booing was so loud. You know, it was like he just tried to get rid of it as quickly as he could.
Yeah, that's actually kind of how you play the game, Kevin.
How dare you? How dare you suggest I don't know that?
Soccer was invented by European ladies to keep them busy while their husbands did the cooking.
Oh, come on.
You guys will never support soccer in a million years.
Hey, I love soccer. How dare you? I really do. I watched the whole game last night. I've been to three or four games. But I'm not the a-hole in the corner. That's all.
We're not a-holes. You should come sit with us.
All right. Do I start drinking first thing in the morning or noon?
It's the night before and don't go to sleep.
Night before, don't go to sleep. All right. Good enough. Thank you, Scott.
Take care.
Bye now.
Kevin, I'm looking for a white prom, but I'm having a lot of trouble finding one. Whites only prom. Can you hook me up? You got any tips for me?
Here's what's weird about this story is that my parents always taught me that it is the height of stupidity to think that the skin of your color couldn't make you any better or worse than anyone else. And I've always thought that. And so even when there was the election, they were talking about, can America elect a black man? I always thought, well, that's just, of course. Why are people even still acting like this exists? And then this movie comes out that apparently is going to be on HBO tonight called Prom Night in Mississippi. I find it hard to believe.
In this day and age.
In this day and age that this still exists. We have the director, Paul Saltzman, on the phone. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you guys?
Tell us,
shocked.
We are good, shocked that this is still happening, but tell us the idea behind this movie.
Well, we found out, my wife Patricia and I, she produces, I produce and direct, that Morgan Freeman, who we know in his hometown of Charleston, Mississippi, had offered to pay for the prom to be integrated in 1997, and no one took him up on it. What happened was that in 1954, the Supreme Court, of course, ruled you couldn't have segregated schools, but in many places in the South and in Charleston, they didn't integrate the school for 16 more years till 1970.
Okay.
And when that happened, white parents didn't want to let their kids go to a prom or dances with blacks. So it started a tradition that white parents would have a white prom, and that left black parents to do nothing or have a black prom. So there was a white prom and a black prom.
Until what year?
Until last year, 2008.
Are you kidding me?
No, kind of amazing.
Now, what did the, I mean, clearly there must have been some people who were against the idea of the separate proms. They must have brought it to the attention of the school board. They must have had much debate on this from time to time. How was it handled? How did it continue for so long? Why didn't the school just say, we're only going to have one prom, or we're going to have it in the gym, and here's the date, be there?
Well, that would have been a proactive move. What you have in this small town is you have a power structure, even though the town is a majority black, the power structure and the money is really more white. And so the power structure, so to speak, those who run the town, didn't want that. So what happened was that when kids would bring up having an integrated prom, mostly black kids, but also white kids, that discussion would just die. Nobody would do anything. Nobody wanted to do anything of the school administration or the power structure until finally, in the beginning of 2008, Morgan put his offer on the table again. I'll pay for the whole prom if you integrate it. And finally, the school board and the administration of the school agreed.
Now, were you getting, were the people that wanted to keep it the same, were they the kids or the parents?
99% it was the parents and the sort of, again, power structure, those who run the town, in a sense, those who have influence. The kids in general wanted to have it together. Of course, there are white kids who being brought up in a certain way by their parents, those that tended to be racist, they followed the party line. So, for example, when we were filming, and we filmed for 4.5 months leading up to the prom, we would go into a classroom and say, if you don't want to be filmed, please go to a study period in the library. And a number of white kids, only ever white kids, and it so happened they were the white kids who attended the white prom, would get up and walk out. They didn't want to be filmed. You know, we were, in a way, we were the enemy. We were the progress that was scary for them.
Right. Interesting. You know, we've had so many discussions on this show, and if you're just joining us, Paul Saltzman is on the line. He is the director of a film on HBO tonight called Prom Night in Mississippi on this topic that we're talking about. We've had a lot of discussions, whether it's about President Obama during his campaign or about the gay marriage debate that's going on in California, and so often it boils down to the younger the person is, the more likely they are to be open-minded about this sort of thing. I mean, I would imagine that there were a ton of 15, 16, 17-year-olds that you talked to who couldn't fathom in their mind why they couldn't go to the same prom as their friends who happen to be of another color.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And here's an interesting twist. We were filming in Greenwood, 30 minutes away from Charleston, and a white man who must have been about 50 came up, and in the course of the conversation, when we said what we were doing, he said, "You're kidding. They're still doing that over there?"
Really?
30 minutes away. So these are pockets, and the real motivation for making the film, which my wife and I did out of our savings, we were going to do a reno of the house, and it turned into a movie, was because we genuinely believe that there isn't a human being on the planet with zero prejudice. We all have a little, maybe tiny, maybe we don't act on it. Hopefully we look at it and get rid of it. But if we can get young people who, I think, as you were saying, are more flexible, they're not as rigid. They haven't had as many years to get rigid. If we can get young people to see this and other people, and if only for a moment, to consider their own attitudes, their own beliefs, and their own prejudices, and that will create change, because prejudice is, by definition, based on misinformation.
Right, yeah. Right. Now, were any of the kids, boyfriend, girlfriend, black and white?
There's only one interracial couple in the school, Jeremy and Heather, and they're featured in the film along with Heather's father. And it's a rather fabulous piece of the film because Heather's father, as he says, well, I look like a redneck. I kind of fit the profile. And he does. And at the same time, he says he's for an integrated prom, but he's against his daughter dating a black. So he's against Heather's relationship with Jeremy.
Wow.
And in the course of the film, he comes around to the place where he says, I don't agree with it, meaning their relationship, but I love her, and I will never turn my back on her no matter what her decision is.
Interesting.
That's a start.
Hey, Paul, What about you focus a lot on what's going on in the high school. What about the blacks and whites in the town? Did you see that there was a lot of racism still going on, or do people work together, eat together, play together, hang out together otherwise, or is it still pretty segregated even outside of the school down in that part of Mississippi?
It's pretty separate culturally, and this is a fascinating thing because in Canada, where I live, and in America, where you live, there still is a tremendous amount of distance between the communities. So even schools that have integrated proms, you ask them, and what about your homecoming? And half the time, they'll tell you their homecomings are segregated. The blacks create a homecoming, a reunion, rather, a class reunion.
Oh, okay. Right.
Okay.
And it happens, you know, everywhere. To me, it's insane. I mean, it's like, you want to take half the human race and ignore them. Why would you do that? There's wonderful human beings who are black. Look at the president of America. There's wonderful human beings. You know, it's the same old junk. And I think one thing that we also have come to believe is that nothing changes till you do. You can tell everyone else how they should do it differently, but until within our own hearts, within our own minds, we look at this within ourselves and say, wait a minute. Women are just as wonderful as men. Blacks are
Hold on a second. Let's not get crazy here, Paul, with the women talk. Let's play a clip from the film. It is called Prom Night in Mississippi. It airs tonight on HBO at 9 o'clock. Here's a little bit. I think you'll recognize the voice of the great actor Morgan Freeman talking about what's going on in this documentary.
Charleston, Mississippi has got to get over the racism.
One of the things that surprised me was they have separate proms, one white, one black.
It's 2008. Why are you going back to the attitude that you had 50 years ago?
I have this proposal. You don't want to have a prom instead of two or three? I'll pay for it. Deal?
The white parents wanted us to go to the white prom. It was ridiculous. Why act like that over a prom?
Wow.
Yeah.
Movie's on tonight at HBO.
Were you shooting this during the presidential election?
We were shooting it during the presidential primaries.
Primaries.
And we actually went down to Jackson with two of our students and filmed the Obama rally in Jackson. It didn't fit in the movie in the end. And we are making a separate documentary about all the other things that we filmed in the course of about, we filmed over really a year, but the intensive filming was the 4.5 months. So, yes, it was all going on then.
And the reason I ask that is because, you know, there are YouTube videos and stuff of these rednecks on motorcycles saying, oh, you can't have a black president and all that kind of stuff. And they looked like aliens to me. Like, I didn't even understand them.
Well,
this is where they live, Mississippi?
Yeah, but again, you know, I think we got to be careful not to just point at Mississippi. I mean, here's an interesting one. I did civil rights work in Mississippi in 1965. I did voter registration with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, which is how I got interested, that took us back to do prom night. And Mississippi today has the highest per capita black elected officials in America, the highest per capita black police chiefs, black fire chiefs, but they also started way, way further behind. And again, you know, we can look at one corner of America or Canada, but this stuff goes on everywhere.
But it doesn't to this level. It really doesn't. I mean, you look at this white prom, black prom, it's shocking that it doesn't happen anywhere in L.A. You know what I mean? Like,
right, they don't do that.
It doesn't. No, it's
true.
Not this bad.
No, I think that's
everywhere.
True. I think that's true. I think the nuance is, they are we, unless we're careful, you know, in that sense. Prejudice lives in all of us. How do we change that? Let's look within ourselves. Yeah, here's a great example of this in Mississippi. We arrived at the school one day to film, and the principal of the school, Bucky Smith, who's a wonderful man. He's white. He's a wonderful educator, a liberal man. He said to me, I have to thank you. And I said, what for? And he said, well, I was talking to Charles on the phone this morning. Charles Johnson is the black chairman of the school board. Bucky's the white principal of the only high school in town. And Bucky recounts that he said to Charles, Charles, we've been friends for 20 years, haven't we? Yes, we have, Bucky. And we're good friends, aren't we? Yes, we are, Bucky. Charles, why have we never in 20 years ever discussed race?
Hmm.
I mean, it's mind-blowing. And Charles said, I don't know, Bucky. And Bucky said, well, let's. And they started talking about race. That's the issue of, let's keep it all under the surface. Let's pretend things are fine.
Wow.
But until you start talking, until you start dialoguing, which we hope our film encourages, you don't get to that stuff.
That's an excellent point. Paul, we're out of time now. We want to encourage our listeners to check out Prom Night in Mississippi. It will air tonight at 9 o'clock on HBO. Sounds like you did some great work there. Thanks to you, and thanks to your wife, too.
Thanks, Kevin and Bean.
Hey!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 7:57.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, I'd like to curse Ralph Garman to hell. I'd like to damn him for all eternity for bringing up the Aaron Andrews peephole video, because we haven't really been able to concentrate on anything else on the show because we've all been spending all of our time online trying to find it, Ralph. So thanks a lot, a-hole. No. Do you have it?
Why don't you send it to us?
I don't have it. I didn't download it. I just watched it.
There are a bunch of sites that say they have it, and then they say it's been taken down.
Well, how about sending us a link so we can get on with our lives?
I don't have it saved. I didn't... You know,
how about just getting on with your life?
How about that?
Look, if you found it somewhere, you can find it again. You can hook us up. All right, that's all I'm saying, because we're not getting anything else done.
Wow,
that's my point.
You sound like you're a drowning man in the desert. Yeah. Like you've never seen cans before. Relax.
I like
just
to stay current.
On.
You know that. I like to know what's going on in the world. I
move
like to
along.
Be,
there's nothing to see here.
I'm just asking for a little help. All right. What?
I was going to say, not only is she a hot chick, but she's a broadcaster. So Bean's like,
oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot.
You got to understand. Yeah. She's on TV. Come on. All right. Ralph is here with the Monday Show Biz Beat. What's going on?
Bad news.
With?
Bam Margera.
Uh-oh. Is that true?
TMZ.com posted a story today that Bam Margera was rushed to the hospital yesterday as paramedics responded to a 911 call for a possible overdose.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
apparently, state troopers and medical personnel arrived at his house in Westchester, Pennsylvania, around 1:30 p.m. yesterday and had to rush him to hospital. So we're still waiting for further news regarding his status, but it does not sound good.
Wow.
Imagine that, Bam, overdosing on drugs.
I wouldn't expect one of the Jackass guys to be drinking a lot. That's weird.
I see those guys as partiers. I just can't.
That's rough.
It's Monday. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Let's take a look at them, shall we? Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, number one by a mile. If a mile is $160 million.
I don't know that you can measure a mile in dollars, but...
What's a mile cost these days?
I don't really know. I don't know
what would go for a mile, man.
It's been a while, expensive, especially. Isn't it? Yeah.
Made $80 million this weekend alone, $160 since its debut on Wednesday. Harry Potter, this is the best opening for a Harry Potter film ever, by the way. $400 million worldwide. And one of the biggest openings in movie history. So, all good news for Harry and the rest of the... Bugaloos or whatever those people are. I don't know anything about it. So please enjoy.
Ralph, have you ever been tempted to jump on board the Harry Potter freight train?
No, not so much.
Okay.
Is it a magic freight train?
Is it a freight train?
Well, I mean, it's just it's such a pop culture phenomenon. There have been times where I thought, you know what? It's obviously good. Everybody loves it. Maybe I should go see them, but I just haven't been able to get enough interest to.
They're really well done.
Yeah, but there was always sort of a...
Dork?
How do I put it? Like you know how the Twilight fans are just sort of so rabid that it almost bugs you?
Fan overkill?
Yeah. I think the Harry Potter fans waiting in line at midnight for the books and everything, and that the whole thing just kind of put me off it, I guess.
That's too bad. It's really fascinating. Well, it's well done.
That's all right. I'll survive. I'll be okay.
I loved it.
Ice Age and Dawn of the Dinosaurs. Not and the Dawn of the Dinosaurs, but Dawn of the Dinosaurs, the, what is it, the third, fourth in the series of Ice Age movies?
Third.
Transformers was number three. Bruno the Hangover. The Proposal was number six. Public Enemies was seven. Up, My Sister's Keeper was nine. And I Love You, Beth Cooper rounds out the top 10.
You can't wait till Up and My Sister's Keeper get separated at some point in the future. Because
still sounds bad. Up, My Sister's Keeper does not sound like a good idea. Congratulations to Fred Durst.
What?
Never thought I'd say those words. No. But apparently he tied the knot last Friday. He took to his Twitter account to share the news with all his fan. And he sent out a picture of... The new Mrs. Durst and Fred toasting their new love with mojitos in Vegas where they got married. He says he's never known real love until now, Fred says. And now he is so grateful.
Hmm.
His new bride's wife is names is Esther. There's something wrong with Esther.
I hear that's
what I've heard.
You should look out.
And I think marrying Fred Durst is the first indicator that there's something wrong with Esther. Oh, Orlando Bloom's a good guy. I make fun of him for being a girl and all, but still, he seems like a good guy. I told you last week he had his home robbed for $500,000 worth of goods.
Right.
Including a rare Rolex watch, which was worth about $250,000 in and of itself. So he's recently interviewed about the burglary and said, nobody died. We could have lost a lot more stuff in the world. There wasn't that much. And he says the brutal reality is a lot of people in America are losing their entire homes due to foreclosure. So he doesn't feel too bad about what he had stolen.
Give me his address again. Where does he live?
He must have good insurance. That's the only thing I can imagine. But apparently he's taking it with a grain of salt, which seems cool, I think. You know what, Padma Lakshmi?
Yeah!
Yes.
Yeah.
She is the host of Top Chef. One of the hosts of Top Chef. She's a very attractive woman. She was in the Carl's Jr. commercial eating one of those drippy burgers.
Oh, yeah.
Very
and
sexy.
She used to be married to Salman Rushdie, too, curiously.
Did she?
Very attractive model girl.
Okay.
Well, apparently, just eating that burger all sloppy and telling people to cook makes her qualified for her own TV sitcom.
A sitcom?
NBC is giving her own sitcom. She'll play a woman working as a cook.
Huh.
Called Single Serving. She's a single gal trying to find love while she keeps her job as a cook in Single Serving. Coming this fall to NBC.
Must be nice to be hot.
I guess. Well, she's obviously funny because she tells chefs to make meals.
She does that.
On a reality game show. So I'm glad she's got a sitcom. That makes me feel good about America and the entertainment industry. Today's celebrity birthdays, Carlos Santana.
Aye, aye, aye.
Aye.
He is 62 years old today. Chris Cornell of Audioslave and Soundgarden is 45. Stone Gossard of Pearl Jam celebrates his 43rd birthday. Have you heard that new song, The Fixer? That's good Pearl Jam stuff right
there.
We've
been playing that this
morning,
yes. I
heard it over Power. That was awesome. Big nope. Boy had it on this morning. It was
he didn't
excellent.
Play it. That was us.
Josh Holloway from Lost. He is Sawyer on that show. He is 40. Gisele Bündchen is 29. Let's give her a sitcom, too. She's hot.
Okay.
She must be funny. If she's a model and she's hot, she must be funny. That's what I'm thinking.
Fine with me.
She's a wacky German. He's Hitler. She's Ava Braun in... What's up with Ava? Come on. Who's with me?
Probably not very many people.
Probably not. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
I want to thank Kevin and Bean listener Matt in Augusta, Georgia, streaming us online this morning, sent a beautiful link to the Aaron Andrews people video, so I appreciate that. Not that I would watch it, because I wouldn't watch that, because that would be an invasion of her privacy. It'd be rude and inconsiderate and wrong, but I just say it's nice to have in the archives.
Just in case.
Sure.
Just in case.
In
I
case
ever need
something
it, right?
Came up.
In case there's a scavenger hunt, the kids come to the door and they need a people video, then I've got it.
Sure, that happens a lot. All right, let's talk about texting disasters, because I know I text when I drive, and that doesn't seem smart to me.
You know what?
You text when you drive?
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up, because everyone I know texts when they drive.
Yep.
And really, there's nothing that you know is more wrong or more stupid than that.
Well, more distracting.
It's something we all
or
do.
Or dangerous.
It's something that's way distracting. And, you know, they put laws in now where you have to have a hands-free phone. But
right.
Right.
Texting is so much worse than talking on the phone because
much worse.
You actually have to pay attention. You actually have to look down at this little screen. And I'm just surprised that bad things haven't happened yet. But
I guarantee there's someone listening who's gotten involved in an auto accident as a result of texting. Either he was texting or the other car was. I guarantee that.
Yeah. There was a story on the online of the woman that fell in the manhole. She was texting and she wasn't looking up, and there was a hole in the ground.
That's about the worst thing that could happen, other than being hit by a bus. But I mean, can you imagine what that sensation would be like? All of a sudden,
the ground
falling
is gone
through the air.
Yeah, here's the very, very bad news anchor talking about it.
She was walking along Victory Boulevard, about to read a text message on her girlfriend's cell phone, when the sidewalk suddenly wasn't there.
Like, there was no warning of a big open hole.
Well, here's the thing about that. There is a warning. It's visual, though.
Yes.
If you're looking up, the warning is, hey, there's a big hole there.
Had there been a sign, she would not have seen it. She
right.
was texting.
Back to the anchor.
A big open manhole. Alexa tumbled 6 feet underground and landed in 4 inches of raw sewage.
Fell 6 feet. Can you imagine?
No.
By the way, this reporter sounds entirely too pleased with this story.
He does.
He must hate the kids and their texting because he's loving the fact that she fell into sewage.
In a word, Alexa's mother says it was horrible.
From your sink to your toilet, it's down in there. And she was smelly.
Yeah, that's not good.
Dude, she was lucky that's all that happened to her.
Yeah, no kidding. She's lucky.
She could have cracked her head open and died in there.
And that's not where you want to die.
God, no.
You don't want to die in the sewer.
People might not have found her for days.
Forever. So we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067 of texting disasters. Here are some other examples.
I tripped over a cone.
I had a tree branch. I snapped a tree branch like that. I run into these. A pole? We call this a pole.
I think I've walked into the middle of, like, dog leashes.
And I ran into a bicyclist 2 days ago.
Yeah, I stepped in dog poo.
Yeah. yeah, dog poo. Yeah, it seems like it is the one thing that takes your attention away from everything else is texting.
Everything around you.
Yeah. I mean, just because you have to focus in on what, you know, this tiny little screen and everything else kind of goes away.
Yes. So, talking on your phone doesn't seem so bad
at all. It doesn't seem, I mean, it's so much better than texting.
It really is.
Let's take one call before the break, and then we'll invite you to with your stories of how you screwed up texting, what you ran into, or what happened to you because you were paying attention to your phone instead. 1-800-520-1067. Although we'll squeeze in James real quick because he's exactly who we're looking for. Hey, James, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, what's going on, guys? What's up, Mr. Mayor?
Hello.
What happened?
Hey, okay, so check this out. It was about 2 years ago. I was with my buddy. We were going to go meet these girls, and everything was, you know, it was cool, and we picked up some beer. So he's texting them. As we're driving, in front of us is a garbage truck.
Yeah.
And I didn't say anything, and I was a fool. I wasn't wearing my seatbelt. But my buddy, he's texting. And
Wait a minute. So your buddy is driving and texting?
Driving and texting.
Why don't you text?
Yeah.
You're just sitting there watching the truck.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't know the girls, so I had no way to communicate.
All right.
Okay,
so your friend is driving and texting, and you don't have your seatbelt on. This is already good.
Slam right into the back of his garbage truck, and it didn't do a thing to the garbage truck.
Yeah.
Of course.
And the guy got out, and he looked at us, and he said, it's okay. And kind of walked off like, it was no big deal. So I'm like, man, hey, man, there's something wrong with my arm. And we go, and we meet these girls, and they're like, hey. And this girl gave me a hug, and my arm just was throbbing in pain. Broke it in three places.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hey, why weren't you wearing a seatbelt, by the way?
Because at that time, I was a fool.
He likes to party.
A big fool.
Yeah. So you broke your arm. That's awesome. Running into the back of a garbage truck, which they stop pretty much every house.
Yeah.
So you can be guaranteed of that.
Yeah.
There's no give either.
Nope.
With garbage trucks.
Not with a garbage truck. They win, you lose. That's how it works. Thank you for the call. James, 1-800-520-1067. Texting disasters when we get.
We're going to talk to our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show about the very latest on the possible Bam Margera overdose, which is a concern of ours because he's a friend of the program. Also, Aaron Andrews in the Peephole video. Apparently, apparently Harvey is outraged by the Peephole video, by the way.
He should be. That's
what?
That's an invasion of privacy.
I'm outraged at the quality. Is it better? Come on, get a better camera. The 2009. Right now, though, we're talking about texting. You know, I got an email from our friend Mr. Movie Phone who reminds me that that's what happens to Will Smith in the 7 Pounds movie, is that he's texting while he's driving.
Ah.
Boom, gets in a car accident and kills his wife. So that's the cautionary tale here today, is don't do other things when you're texting. And these listeners are going to show you more examples of why.
Let's talk to Chris to get things started. Hey, Chris.
Hey. Okay, so first date with this girl, I'm going out to dinner, and I get a text, and look at my phone, start walking, and sure enough, hit a pole square in the groin.
Oh.
You walked into a pole with your groin?
Yeah.
I bet he was pissed.
Did you go to the ground instantly, or was it not that bad?
No, I kind of tried to play it off, but it didn't really work out too well.
Yeah.
That's the way to impress a chick on a first date, though, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, they really love it when you walk into a pole. That shows them that you know what you're doing.
Yep,
you're on top of your game. All right, let's go to Martha. Martha, hi.
Hello.
Texting disasters. What happened while you were texting?
Right now, actually, not even 10 minutes ago, before you guys were talking about it, I was on the treadmill at the gym. And I was texting, and I fell, and I tried to play it off, too, but, like, making it seem like I dropped my MP3 player. But everyone was staring at me, and this lady, like, walked up, and she's like, can I help you? And I just, like, walked away awkwardly.
So you were on a treadmill, and you were texting, and you fell?
Yeah, like, I fell, like, to the side with my left leg.
That's the best.
Yeah, and then I fell to my side, obviously.
Are you okay?
Yeah, well,
you need to hang up and call 911 and get some help, or
I know you're trying to play it off and all, but your leg is broken.
Maybe. And actually, that happened to me yesterday too. While I was getting out of the pool,
then
my sister's friend laughed at me and stuff. It was embarrassing
because you were texting getting out of the pool.
Well, yeah, I was walking towards the inside of the house. And
you are not very smart.
You're a little addicted. You know that.
Martha, you get hurt every day texting. Perhaps there's a problem.
You may not have the coordination for this.
I know, but I love texting.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you certainly do.
Love your short life.
Here's the option that everyone should consider is that you can still text. You
just shouldn't
be on a treadmill if you know that you got hurt at a swimming pool the day before texting.
Don't walk. Stop.
By the way, I love Martha. Would like to talk to her on the phone every day. She's awesome. Martha, call us tomorrow when you get her texting. Let's try Nick. He is on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Nick. We're talking about texting disasters. For folks who weren't listening, by the way, the story that prompted this was a girl walking down the sidewalk. She fell into a manhole full of sewage while she was texting. So that's the one to beat. What do you got for us, Nick?
Dude, what's up, Kevin and Bean? Lisa May.
Hello.
Hi there.
Yeah, I was hauling down the freeway, and all of a sudden, next thing I know, I'm burning rubber right behind a car, and I slam right into it. She comes over and asks me, do you have insurance? I was like, you know, I'm in college right now. Didn't really need it. So 20 minutes later, I'm like, I call my insurance, redo it. I'm like, all right, how about I don't pay, and you just call them and let them know everything happened, but tell them Friday. It happened Friday, a couple days later, so they don't get me on insurance fraud.
And?
You know, the dumb blonde called them, told them it happened that day.
Oh, that stupid blonde.
Insurance that day. So now I'm getting investigated by all their attorneys, getting phone calls, certified mail.
But she's
I love that so much, by the way, that you're the one committing insurance fraud and lying, and she's the dumb broad. I love that.
You're the best, Nick. But at least you didn't come on the radio show and talk about it. So now they're going to be looking for that tape.
Well, he's sunk now. He knows he's found out. Let's try Ray on line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Raymond, welcome to the program. What happened?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, so my wife was out of town for a week, and I just got this new Lincoln, and so I figured I was going to go out with the buddies at night, and so I had this new BlackBerry, so I wasn't used to the keypad, so I'm getting on the freeway, and I started drifting, and I hit the curb that, stopped me from getting on too early.
Right.
And it broke my axle, spun me around, and it threw me off the side of the freeway, and I landed between the cliff, upside down, and the wall of the freeway.
Really?
Wow, that's a serious. You obviously had your seatbelt on, though, right?
Yeah, I did. That's what seatbelt saved lives, man. Because I walked out there with no bruises, no scratches. The only problem was I had to call my wife and tell her I totaled the new car.
Yeah, that's always fun. How far did the car fall?
What's that?
How far did the car fall?
I'd say it was probably about 40 feet.
Oh my god!
And it went sideways and flipped over.
That's like something you see in movies.
Yeah, I landed in a V-shape between the wall and the cliff.
Wow.
I barely had enough room to crawl out my window. But it was scary at first. So
When you fell 40 feet, your car's wedged in, you climb out, did you finish the text?
No.
Oh, come on. What kind of a texter are you?
By the way,
that's exactly the type of accident where if you had been incapacitated or unconscious or hurt badly, they may not have ever found you before you died. That's the side of a cliff 40 feet down. That's tough. All right. Have you texted while driving since then, Raymond?
Actually, I have. I got used to my keypad. So
yes, that was the problem.
There's our boy.
The problem right there.
They call me Hancock now
because
I escaped that accident. So.
Yeah, okay. Fantastic.
All right.
One more. Let's try Elliot, line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Elliot, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up? Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
So you're texting. What happened?
I didn't run into anything, but I was actually engaged, and I got caught texting.
You were texting while having sex?
I had both hands free.
Right? Right, but...
Well, that's a pretty reasonable explanation. He did have both hands free.
But then what?
He looked up and got pissed and left.
I think so.
So you're saying that you were having sex and the dude you were having sex with caught you texting while having sex?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, so. then he's not right for you. If he can't understand that you're able to multitask and he can't, then right. He's just jealous.
Good riddance. What do you think's been going on with the Armenian comedian? It's been a time since we've had him on.
I'm with
Don't
Bean.
Care at
it's
all.
It's been a long, long time since
I
we
hope
had...
that he hope that he's dead and we just didn't hear about it.
Sam?
Yes, good morning, brothers.
How are you, my brother?
Oh, man, I'm alive and kicking world. That's what's happening.
Armenian comedian, we haven't talked to you on this show, it seems like, for months. What's going on? Are you not listening to us anymore?
No, I do, and then I leave lots of messages in the Afro machine. I play now new instruments like harmonica for the bluegrass songs and then also synthesizer.
You play a synthesizer and a harmonica for the bluesgrass?
Yeah, I'm coming with the new instrument. I'm tired of playing the flute.
Well, you mastered that a long time ago, though. I can see why you would get tired of it.
Yeah, I'm tired of... Now I'm playing harmonica
right.
And also synthesizer.
Right.
Sure. Okay, so you are pursuing your musical career. Do you ever play with your band?
I'm looking for a backup band now, and... You know, it's just awful, awful. Musicians are awful people.
and you would think if they have an opportunity to hitch onto your star that they'd go for it, right? Like you're out there as an undiscovered gem waiting for somebody to come around and work with you.
So I figure I play my own band myself.
Right, sure. You do it all. That's the way to do it. You can be the Trent Reznor of your generation.
That's right. One-man band. Now, how about the comedy? Are you still pursuing that?
Oh, you know what? Where I work at, 24/7, there's comedy. We tell the customers jokes. They tell us a joke.
This is the hair salon?
Oh, my God. It's so... I can write a book of jokes.
I'll bet you could. I'll tell
you. Should.
You never stop wowing us with your jokes. I mean, that's the thing that we think about you is joke, joke, joke. Just like, give me a break. My stomach hurts.
Yeah, listen, also, any human being, whatever it drives him inside, there is another person, I guess, in any...
That's a great point.
Yes.
Oh.
Right. Armenian comedian, I know you've been cutting hair for a long time. Has anyone ever come in for a second haircut with you?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, really? I just assumed you get all one-time only customers. Yeah.
I am the best haircutter of all times.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. That can be backed up. Now, you're going to write a book of jokes, you're saying. You have that many.
I have so much jokes. I just each jokes I tell, I lose my hair.
Right, yeah. I don't know what that means.
Now, I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for bringing this up. Perhaps this isn't far enough along that we're not supposed to mention it yet, but there is talk of us making available for download on KevinAmin.com at least...
Yes.
At least portions of the Armenian comedian documentary movie called Born High.
Yes.
And that looks like it's going to be happening very, very soon for folks who have heard us talk about it but never have had the chance to see it. I think that's happening very soon, and it's a fascinating movie. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. If you won't believe it. That's all. Just you won't believe it.
Can I say something, Kevin and Bean?
Sure.
If I try to make this Born High movie again, trust me, I won't be able to do it because I have to go back and do shooting with you guys, shooting with Kevin.
Okay.
I mean, with Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Sam, you didn't make this movie, though.
It's all there.
It is all there, yes. We're trusting you, and we're saying that we're going to put it up soon. And when we do, the listeners are going to definitely want to see it because they won't believe.
Yeah. My producer is about to come this week to deliver the
All right.
Movie.
Okay. Well, for folks who can't wait, you can check out the website. It's Born High, and that's spelled H-Y-E, bornhigh.com. And what does that word high mean, Sam?
B-O-R-N-H-Y-E.com.
Right. Just said that.
What does high mean, H-Y-E, Sam?
Okay. High means spelled wrong way in America or English words. H-Y-E means Armenian.
What does it mean in Armenian?
Yes. If I say I'm high, that means I'm Armenian.
Oh, it means Armenian.
I see.
So I'm killing two birds in one bullet.
Right. You are killing two birds in one bullet.
That's an excellent point.
All right, Sam, before we go, because we're kind of running out of time, give us one of those jokes that you're going to put in the book.
This is awful. This is awful joke.
Okay, don't give us that one then. Give us one that we can put on the air.
Yeah.
Farrah Fawcett died, and God asked her, "Welcome to our world. What do you want? What do you want? Wish? What do you wish?" She says, "Just want the kiss."
There it is. Catch it up with the Armenian comedian on the Kevin and Bean Show. So now we're done. It'll be like another year before we got to talk to him again, right?
I feel good about
that. Talk to you tomorrow, Sam. Let it die!
Dude, take it easy.
Let it die.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 5 minutes till 9 o'clock.
Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph Garman is here talking about all things Harry Potter and everything else going on in showbiz. Good morning, Ralph.
Celebrities, they love to party. How the hell can they get? Who's putting down the needle or drying mouth? It's time for Rehab Roulette.
Let's see what celebrity is in trouble with substance abuse this morning. Oh, look at that. It's star of Burn Notice, Jeffrey Donovan.
I love him.
Oh, he loves booze.
Oh, crap.
You may love him. He loves Cuervo.
What happened?
Apparently, he was overserved, as we used to say in the industry, over the weekend, and he was popped for driving under the influence in Miami Beach, Florida.
Damn it.
TMZ just posted this story. He was arrested Sunday, July the 12th, and released several hours later. No comment from Donovan or his reps yet, but I promise you he's going to do some soul searching and get his problems under control with a little visit. To a little place I like to call Rehab.
Sure. Why do you like to call it that?
Because that's what its name is.
That's the name of it. All right.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office as we do every Monday morning, shall we? This Harry Potter thing, it just might catch on.
It's got some legs.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think this is going to be a very popular character with the kids and with people who will never have children because they will never have sex. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince did $80 million in its debut weekend. Now, keep in mind, it was released on Wednesday. That makes its grand total in 5 days, $160 million. Yeah, the overseas money, which is $237 million, and that adds up to just a hair under $400 million in 5 days.
Ka, and might I add, ching!
In 5 days.
Yes.
Wow.
So, get your cribbage sticks, everyone, and fly on over there and check it out.
No.
Quidditch.
Lisa May, when is part one of the final movie supposed to come out?
I don't know. I'm guessing next year,
couple
probably.
Years, maybe. They're usually about 2 years apart.
Yeah, usually. But
Harry Potter and the Full Blood Princess? Is that the
I don't
one?
Think so. I don't think that's the name of it. No.
The Bloody Princess?
Nope. Oh. That's not it either.
I used to serve that at a bar in West Hollywood.
The Bloody Princess?
Yeah, it was a drink I made up when I used to work there.
Ice Age Dawn of the Dinosaurs was number two at the box office. Transformers Revenge of the Fallen came in at number three. Then Bruno and The Hangover are your top five. Number six, The Proposal, Public Enemies. Up was number eight, My Sister's Keeper. Nine, and I Love You, Beth Cooper, rounding out the top ten at the box office. We have an update on Bam Margera and his reported overdose, possible overdose.
Okay.
911 call was made for Bam yesterday. The cops and medical professionals showed up at his home in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and took him to the hospital. His mom now is speaking out on his behalf. She called a radio station in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and said he was severely dehydrated. That was the problem.
Oh.
It wasn't that he was all loaded up on goofballs. It was because he was severely dehydrated.
Was he exhausted, too?
He was apparently exhausted.
He is a celebrity.
He had been filming Nitro Circus. And apparently, Mom says he just works so hard when he does shows like that he just forgets to eat enough and take care of himself.
Yeah, dude. Does
really? She think we haven't seen him?
April, really? I hope she's lying for our behalf and doesn't really believe any of that, because that would just be sad.
Wow. He doesn't eat enough.
You know, Bam's just not eating enough, and he's just, look at him, he's skinny, he doesn't look so good.
How many pounds of food would he have to eat in order to soak up the amount of alcohol that he drinks?
Yeah, that's a good question.
We don't know the answer. Looks like CSI's bringing back one of its stars. Sadly, it's not William Peterson. Looks like it's going to be Georgia Fox. Where's your gong when you need one?
Is she that ugly?
Whoops, that's the wrong one. That's the wrong one.
She's rich with a timpani as well as ugly. There we go.
She made her fortune selling timpani drums.
Is she teeth?
She's teeth, yeah.
Yeah.
She's pan-faced, gap-toothed.
She's not attractive.
Yeah.
Apparently, she's coming back to the show for the fall premiere. Immediate speculation is that on the series, the storyline will go. She dumped Gil Grissom and had a romantic romantic relationship with him on the show. She dumped him and now is coming back to work with the CSI team. I had to look for a good dentist. And the Comic-Con's coming up this weekend. Everyone is very excited.
What
San Diego Comic-Con coming up this weekend.
Yes.
Aren't you excited? I'm excited. We're all very excited. I will be back amongst my people this weekend. I'll be walking amongst my people.
Those are your peeps.
They will come up and touch my robe I was Jesus himself as I peruse the aisles of the Comic-Con.
I don't think so.
I'll be broadcasting live from the San Diego Comic-Con on Friday morning.
What? Dude.
You can hear me live. Come on by.
It's pretty cool.
Let's have a party.
Will my girlfriend Olivia Munn be there?
No, I'm betting Adam West will stop by Friday morning. I'll tell you that much. I think we'll be talking some Adam West naked.
Naked?
Why would we do that?
That's his new DVD. He's got a new DVD called Adam West Naked that's coming out. It's him doing his commentary on all the Batman episodes. Yeah. Raw and unscripted.
Oh.
And I hope naked as well.
Yeah, that's really just you.
Speaking of comic book movie news, Morgan Freeman and Bruce Willis are teaming up to star in a movie called Red. The movie is based on the popular DC comic book about a retired CIA agent living peacefully on his own in a small town until an assassin shows up bent on killing him. And he's got to pick up the guns and go back to the old ways to defend himself and his family. Sweet.
Is Morgan going to wait till he comes back from his honeymoon with his granddaughter to make that one?
Why do you have to ruin everything?
I'm just asking.
Why do you have to put your stink all over everything and just ruin all that is good?
Just curious about the timing.
There's no answer to that.
I know there isn't. Today's celebrity birthday is Gisele Bündchen. Is 29 years old today. Actor Simon Rex turns 35. Josh Holloway, Sawyer from Lost, is 40 years old. Stone Gossard of Pearl Jam. We've been playing their new song, The Fixer, all morning long. He is 43 years old. Chris Cornell of Audioslave and Soundgarden celebrates his 45th birthday. Paul Cook of the Sex Pistols turns 53. And Carlos Santana turns 62 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. That's The Fixer. It's brand new Pearl Jam. We world premiered it for you earlier this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
And it's a very special Cinco de la Tarde this afternoon because, in case you haven't noticed,
commercial free, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Come on.
Man, do I want to go see The Orphan. That's all I know. Woo! I'm crazy about The Orphan. Yeah, we are commercial free between now and 6. We'll get right back to the music. First, though, how about catching up with our old friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, the world's entertainment website of record. Harvey, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys.
I got to tell you, I share your outrage about this sports reporter Aaron Andrews and the peephole video, but my complaint is that the quality of the peephole video isn't good enough. What up?
Oh, God, you guys.
Have better cameras by now, Harvey? Haven't we made advances in the photographic field?
I think it's really, really creepy. I mean, this person should be prosecuted.
Well, I'm sure if they find him, they will be, right?
I think so. I mean, this is such an invasion of privacy.
Well, let's talk about this for folks who didn't hear the story this morning or haven't seen it. Aaron Andrews is a very popular, beautiful reporter on ESPN. Do we know where this hotel was that the video was captured?
We don't, and I'm not sure. I mean, I would think that Aaron would know, but through her lawyer, she says that she doesn't know. And, you know, it's kind of a nondescript hotel room, and God knows when it was taken. I mean, that may be why her memory is a little blurry here, but it was somebody who drilled a tiny hole in the wall, and you see the camera person actually moving the camera back and forth.
Yeah, they clearly knew that she was hot, she was in that room, and they were ready for her.
Yeah.
They were right. Well, see, that's the thing. I don't know that. I mean, I don't know whether they had their sights specifically on her or whether there was just a hole in the wall and whoever was doing it was shooting anybody who came into that room and just happened that she was there one day. I don't know.
Right.
She walk around naked, though, doesn't she?
She sure does.
She sure dances while she curls her hair, God bless her. Mm-hmm. By the way, imagine if you're that guy, and we're not suggesting you want to be that guy, because clearly it's wrong and bad and don't do it, but he's got the video camera set up for whoever checks into the room, and freaking Aaron Andrews walks in. He's got to feel like it was Christmas.
What do you want me to say to that? I mean, what I love is you say, oh, it's clearly wrong. And I know the butt's coming. And of course.
I mean, let's be honest. This is one of the best things.
It's Kevin and Bean.
This is one of the best things we've ever seen.
All right.
We're outraged. We're right along with you.
But we had to see it first to be outraged.
Turn our attention to another story that got a lot of attention over the weekend. A lot of headlines about Paula Abdul. She is or is not coming back to American Idol. And how are we now here? I mean, my understanding is that they were already filming audition shows in some of the cities, Denver, Miami, other cities. It seems like if she was coming back, she would already be working. What's going on, Harvey?
August 6th is the key date here. That's when the cast is supposed to get together for the official auditions and, you know, where they actually show up. She's holding out for money. I mean, that's what's really going on here. This is not that American Idol wants to get rid of her. They don't. They're in brinksmanship right now. She's pissed off that Ryan Seacrest is getting $45 million for 3 years. She's pissed off.
Look, and listen, whatever you think about American Idol or Paula Abdul, when you look at your pay, and if it's 1/8 of Ryan Seacrest, that's got to bug you.
Yes.
Well, it bugged her. And she's making between, we're told she's making between $2 and $3 million a year. And he now is making $15 million a year, and she's renegotiating. So she's not pissed off at him. She's pissed off at the producers because she thinks she deserves more. So what's happening is it's remember what they did with Friends, where they said, "Well, we're kind of done," and then the Friends producers came crawling back. That's what she's banking on. That August 6th, you know, is coming up quick, and they are trying to figure out, here's what we do, you know, and you know, here's what we have to do. And my guess is the closer they get to August 6th, the more bargaining power Paula has.
I know that there are fans of that show who love to watch her meltdown and her incoherent ramblings every week. I'm bored with Paula Abdul. I would love it if she didn't come back to the show.
See, I think it's the opposite. I think, in many ways, Paula Abdul is the most interesting thing on the show, just because she's on the edge.
Right.
And I think a lot of people... Look, Simon's act is pretty clear by now. And he is who he is, and that hasn't changed dramatically. With Paula, you just never know what you're getting from week to week, and she really is the wild card. And, you know, and people often watch TV because they want to see something unpredictable that's going to happen. If it just becomes predictable, that's when it... So she, to me, is the key to the show.
Harvey, always great to catch up with you. Thanks for coming on this afternoon. TMZ.com. And, of course, you're just an hour and a half away or so from 6:30 p.m. And watch the TMZ TV show on Channel 11. Have a great night, dude.
You too. See you.
Kevin, you spent all weekend hiding, crying, screaming, what?
All of the above. I was talking about on the morning show my fear when I was a kid that snakes would come up through my toilet. That always freaked me out.
Yeah, but that's ridiculous. Now you're an adult.
Right. So you know it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Right. So I got over it.
You can poop at will.
So I got over that, and then a story came out where a snake came up through the toilet and bit the person in the ass. So now I know it's actually true and possible.
It didn't happen, first of all.
It did happen.
No, it
did. It did. That was an accurate report.
Bite the person in the ass.
Did the snake come up through the toilet?
Yes.
Okay, could it have bitten him?
Did it bite the guy in the ass?
I don't remember, but it certainly could have.
It didn't, in fact. It just came into the toilet. A fluke.
Yeah.
A freak accident.
So I'm talking to a friend of mine whose dad works in the Seattle area, and he works in the water department. What do you call that? The
Department of Water and
Department
Power.
Of Water and Power. He says that he himself has seen six times a year, on average, that a rat comes up through the toilet.
Oh, that's kind of creepy.
Six times a year, a rat.
I mean, your odds are still not good.
So you sit down.
But that's pretty creepy.
Or not bad, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you're hoping for rats, Lisa.
You sit down and you can't see anything, but there's a rat in there.
And then he goes right up your butt, right?
Somehow it knows that that's where the gold is. I don't know how they're born with that.
But instinct.
Six times a year now, today.
But it's got to be misfunctioning toilets, because there's a trap there that holds the water in the bowl that gets released when you flush.
Supposed to be.
Can't get past that.
They do. Six times a year, Ralph. That's what I'm telling you.
I'm telling you no.
And I said, that can't be true. It has to be just a rumor or whatever. And he says, my dad works there. I'm telling you, six times a year, rats.
My dad says that rats come out of the toilet, and my dad could beat your dad up.
But Kevin,
schoolyard, this kid.
rats.
Six times a year, yes, in a world of 6 billion people. I mean, you're far more likely to be hit by lightning. Far more likely. How can you even be concerned about something when the odds are that low?
Although you don't sit on a lightning rod every day.
Thank you.
Sometimes twice a day, depending on what you had the night before.
That was my childhood fear, was something coming up through the toilet. And for some reason, now, all of a sudden, it's true. After all this time.
I just can't believe, with the paranoia out there about stuff crawling up the toilet, that something hasn't been invented to prevent that from happening. That's
funny
all
you
say.
Should mention that.
What?
And I know we're running commercial-free today.
Right.
But just before he passed, the late, great Billy Mays, one of the last products he did.
The infomercial guy?
The infomercial guy. He apparently was going to be promoting a new product to protect people's asses from rats.
Really?
No,
that's the best news I've ever heard.
It's called the Ass Guard. And we actually found a copy of the commercial online. So, Kevin, you may not be alone in this fear.
This is great.
Hi, Billy Mays for Asgard. Are you afraid that rats will crawl out of the sewer and up your butt?
Yes.
Well, you're not alone. Millions of marginally functional, really stupid people live in constant fear that a rat or other rodent will crawl up from their sewer system and right into their lower colon. Well, with Asgard, that's a thing of the past. Asgard is a revolutionary product that hangs out a sign that tells rats there's no vacancy at the hotel sphincter. Asgard is a high-tech mesh net made of a tungsten steel alloy that not only cradles your butt cheeks in luxurious comfort, but also establishes an impenetrable barrier that no rat can get through. But the spaces in the mesh are wide enough that the kids you're dropping off get sliced and diced and dropped right into the pool. Asgard not only works for rats and into your fart tank. Asgard keeps you safe from mice, raccoons, anacondas, guinea pigs, midgets, badgers, iguanas, and parrots. Now, finally, you can do your business in peace and quiet without the fear of unwanted visitors invading your blowhole. Made in the USA, Asgard can be yours today for just $19.95. And if you order in the next 10 minutes, we'll throw in the Ball Wall, a protective testicle cozy for no additional charge. So remember, rectum, protectum with Asgard. Call now, 1-800-RAT-BUTT. That's 1-800-RAT-BUTT. Operator's now on duty.
1-800-RAT-BUTT.
I know to get you for Christmas. Commercial free all this hour between 5 and 6 o'clock, so we'll get right back to some K-Rock music after Ralph takes a look at the showbiz beat for a Monday afternoon. Hey, Ralph.
Hey! Remember Jamie White, who used to do the morning show on Star?
Yes.
A million years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Jamie, Frosty, and Freddy, or whatever that show was. Frank.
And then with Danny Bonaducci.
Right, and then she did it with Danny Bonaducci over there for a while.
Right. Yeah.
And then I forget what happened to her.
Yeah, I don't know either.
She's not working
She
here
moved
any
away.
Longer.
She moved away.
Apparently, she got arrested for an undisclosed felony here in Los Angeles earlier this month.
Undisclosed?
Yes.
Felony.
Very mysterious.
Hmm.
Rumor has it, it's a felony count of hideousness.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a felony,
felony
now?
Ugly. Yeah, she was a beast. We used to work in the same building with her, remember? She'd get in the elevator in the morning without makeup. I go, whoa! I thought a rat had come out of my toilet. I was going after my ass when I used to see her. With that wide mouth, bass mouth of hers, well, just all do, with a hook hanging out of it.
She didn't have a hook
there
hanging
was
out
a,
of it.
One time there was a hook hanging out of her mouth as if someone tried to land her, and she snapped the line and got away. That's what
there
I'm
always
saying.
Is a small pleasure in bad things happening to ugly people, so I guess we're happy about it. I
and
guess.
Bad people, too. She was bad.
Yeah.
Bad, bad person. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, the far and away winner at the box office derby this weekend. It made $80 million just over the weekend, $160 million since it opened on Wednesday. So pretty strong.
Pretty strong.
Ice Age Dawn of the Dinosaurs was second. Transformers Revenge of the Fallen was third. Then Bruno and the Hangover. Number six was The Proposal. Public Enemies came in at number seven. Up. And number nine, My Sister's Keeper. And 10th, I Love You, Beth Cooper, rounding out the top 10. Congratulations to Fred Durst.
Huh?
He was married last Friday in Las Vegas, Nevada. He and his new bride, Esther. There's something wrong with Esther.
I hear that story.
I hear that, yeah. They were in a small ceremony in Vegas, and he sent out a picture of the newlyweds on his Twitter account because he is desperate for attention.
Can you imagine following him, Twitter? Can you imagine that?
I follow Fred Durst's Twitter. He's very entertaining.
I don't. But I was wondering, who walked Esther down the aisle? Because I hear she's an orphan.
Oh,
Wow.
Ow.
Ow. Yeah, yes, I would. Yes, yes, I would.
I'm glad to hear that, but put it in the file anyway.
I mentioned this story of this morning's broadcast, and our listener Chris Anaya sent me this email. Ralph, I stayed at the Palms this weekend where Limp Bizkit was playing a show on Saturday. Apparently that's the reason they got married in Vegas, because Fred was in town in Vegas for the Limp Bizkit reunion show. I was very surprised to see a long line of people waiting at the box office, only to find out they were giving away all of the tickets they were unable to sell.
Oh, man.
The bride must have been so proud. Chris and Naya. So there's your personal eyewitness account of what was happening this weekend in Las Vegas. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate that. Sad note, Adam Yauch of the Beastie Boys has announced he has cancer.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah, he made the announcement through a video clip on YouTube and explained that the cancer is localized in a gland and lymph node in his neck. Which, by the way, is not great, but if you can get it early and it is localized, sometimes they can just remove those lymph nodes and treat you a little bit, and you can recover fully. So Beastie Boys are canceling some tour dates. They had to push back the release of their new album as well so that Adam can have some surgery and radiation treatments. Adam says the type of cancer is very treatable, and it was caught early, and he is hoping for a full recovery. So keep a good thought if you're a Beastie fan. Because they seem like good guys, and that shouldn't
happen. They do, anyway. And I'm a little bit surprised. I thought he would get guaranteed good karma because of all the Tibet BS he's put us through for the last 20 years.
Yeah. Well, instant karma is going to get you. You know, you got to be careful of that.
I hate
you. Yeah! And Burn Notice star Jeffrey Donovan apparently was overserved behind the wheel last weekend. He was arrested for driving under the influence in Miami. I think that's where they filmed that Burn Notice.
It is, yeah. Oh, I'm so bummed. I love him so much.
You can still love him. He needs your love more than ever now.
Well, maybe.
He's in trouble.
Maybe I need to fly there.
Yeah, he needs a shoulder to cry on.
He got arrested last Sunday, July the 12th, and was released several hours after the arrest. But he looks good in his mugshot, though.
I was noticing that. Still pretty hot.
Pretty handsome feller.
Yep.
I wouldn't look good in my mugshot.
No.
Most people don't, but he pulls it off.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Gisele Bündchen is 29 years old today. A lot of people angry with me making a lot of German jokes all day because she's Brazilian.
Oh.
Well, there is that then, no. I guess.
With a name like Gisele Bündchen, though.
You would think.
I didn't really know that.
Shouldn't she be from Berlin?
She should.
Sounds like
it's
It's
her fault.
Yeah. Although I think Terry Nunn.
Come on.
Stop it.
What people don't realize is here's what we do in this country. There's America, and then every other country is a foreign country. So it doesn't really matter if we get it right.
That's right. That's how I
Brazil, feel. Germany, it's all the same.
However, she did grow up in a small town in Brazil that had been founded years earlier by German settlers.
Oh.
Okay.
Hence the name Gisele Bündchen.
Yeah, okay. From that makes sense.
So, you know, it is a German name. I was just mistaken regarding her roots. I know where she's not from. That's all that matters.
That's right.
Josh Holloway from Lost, he plays Sawyer on that program. He's a very entertaining actor. He is 40 years old today. Guitarist Stone Gossard of Pearl Jam is 43. Chris Cornell from Audioslave and Soundgarden turns 45. And Carlos Santana, who's been a big influence on the guitar stylings of Mike Catherwood. I know Psycho Mike is a big Carlos Santana fan.
Are you?
No.
No.
Huh. Really?
You just made that up?
Yeah, I just made that up.
All right.
I thought I was taking a chance. I know you play guitar. I thought maybe they're being, you know.
I play Guitar Hero.
Didn't you ever do a duet with Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20, though?
I did do that.
That's where I was confused. Yeah. Okay.
Santana. I was in the bedroom.
Carlos Santana. Well, see, why do you?
Because.
He's 62. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.